All right, it's Droll Radio. Welcome back, everybody. It's going to be the last show of 2011. Thank you for joining us. Corey Hall, how you doing?
Shalom.
We're doing our
Happy
asshole.
Hanukkah, everybody.
Yeah, it is. We've started Hanukkah, and Christmas right around the corner. We're going to do our assholes of the year for you today. We hope you enjoy that. I know people do. People tell me that.
It's the highly coveted assholes of the year list.
The highly rated.
Yes.
Often talked about.
Give your feedback at 610-552-0746.
Right.
Call us assholes, whoever you want to
sure.
call an asshole. Let us know. Somebody called and left a message that was dead air.
Well, they didn't really leave a message. They kind of just hung up. Yeah.
So whoever you were, you are my number one asshole of the year. 610-552-0746. Call back.
Yeah, just feel free to leave a message. I think people, maybe they think, like, I'm going to pick up the phone and want to yell at something. No, just,
it's a voicemail. And we will play your
automated
messages.
Voicemail. And if you have a disagreement with anybody, go ahead and put it on the
sure.
list. Call, tell us. And
if you saw a narwhal in Yellowknife, Canada, to call in and tell us.
Is the narwhal the asshole? Is that well, it's not a person.
No, but
you can't. Remember when Mike Lundy tried to put like a dog on the?
Did he put like Rin Tin Tin or something on the Deadpool?
There was some dog and
a chimp or something.
Yeah, that's not gonna work. Yeah. You need to be a person. So
I think he put Cheetah from Tarzan on there. Is that what he did?
I'm not sure what he put.
Something like that.
Anyway, the assholes of the year are actually going to be people, and I'll. You good with me starting, or do you want to start? How do you?
Well, you know, it's true. I dogs are assholes. They really. I mean.
Well, you can have dogs.
I don't even know who the asshole dog is, though. There's really no leading asshole dog this year.
Yeah, dogs.
You never see the president's dog. I don't know what.
They get rid of him.
Well, yeah, they got him, but you never see. It's not like he.
They got him and they let him out for a photo op and then they put him back.
Barney Bush's dog was always around and they'd show Clinton walking his dog, but you never see the president with
him. Yeah, right, because wouldn't
it's like the girl's dog, is what it is.
Bush would get out of Marine One and the dog would come down the steps and run across the lawn into the White House.
I think he got the dog for the girls.
All right. Well, there's our asshole.
Yeah. What is the Bo? That's
Beau
the president's dog.
All right. The number one dog. All right, listen. Here's I'm gonna start. We're doing 12. You said we can be one for each month, which isn't really by month.
It's
but.
Not, you know, it's not but, like in February this sure. guy was a huge a-hole, but.
But anyway, let's get appropriate. Now I'm going to pick a guy that, you know, this Occupy movement took place this year, and while I didn't agree with it, I didn't agree with it in practice.
Mm-hmm.
In principle, they have valid points that corporations are greedy, and it would be nice if they got rid of it. I don't agree with sitting in a tent in the middle of downtown Detroit for 4 months.
You don't think devil sticks and bongo drums are making a difference?
Yeah, I don't really believe that is really
that's,
solving
that's fair
anything.
Enough. They're moving away now that the...
where are they? Are they still out places
well,
or
now
not?
Now that the goon squads have come and shaken them out of, and that's what happened. It was a big crackdown.
Well,
now they're doing stuff like what they probably should have done all along, which is like... Guerrilla show up and protest something and just
listen.
You're right. Sitting in a park probably not
right.
Gonna,
and
you can't stay there forever.
Corey and I have disagreed. I'm fine with protest. That's our right as Americans to protest. But sitting in a park for 4 months with really no clear goal or something you want done, something's going to make you leave. To me, I don't really agree with
that. The other problem is it's winter. So Occupy LA could sit out there all year.
They could, yeah.
But it gets cold, and you don't want to sit out in the rain.
All right. So anyway, I'm taking umbrage with the celebrities that go down there. And there's been a few of these. But this guy, I didn't see get a lot of press for what he did. But I'm picking this guy that went to the Occupy movement, my number 12 asshole of the year, Russell Simmons went down. Now, I know you're saying, well, Russell Simmons kind of came from nothing. I agree with that. He started Def Jam Records, and he lived in Hollis, Queens with,
chicken
brother.
And collard greens.
Yeah, whatever. So, but you know what? He does a thing. If you watch TV in the afternoon or you watch certain cable channels, you'll see something called the Rush Card.
What is that?
Which is Russell Simmons' like prepaid Visa.
Oh.
Which has some ridiculous fee. Like basically, if you don't have credit, you can get the Rush Card by sending them $500.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll, or it's like, you know, they take a big fee to give you a credit card that you can use.
So it's like Rent-A-Center?
It's like Payday Advance in a credit card, which, let's face it.
Not on my list, but Hulk Hogan doing those Rent-A-Center ads.
Okay.
Not on the list.
Right.
But an honorable mention.
But my feeling is, you know, if you're Russell Simmons and you're essentially, like, taking money from the poor, because face it, rich guys aren't signing up for the Rush card, you know?
Probably not.
You're taking money from poor people, then you're showing up and, like, support of them. To me, that's just, you know, it's the one thing that really makes you an asshole. It's the, you know, but saying one thing, doing another.
You could argue that Russell Simmons has made more black millionaires than anybody.
Okay.
He has given back to the community.
I don't doubt that.
You know what? I have not seen this ad.
In 2011.
I missed the Rush.
He might have done stuff in the 80s and the 90s and that. But in 2011, it looks real bad when you're going down and you're trying to support these people. And yet you still got commercials running.
I have never seen that ad. I don't know how I missed
it. Well, you don't watch enough Judge shows or whatever.
I don't watch.
You're not watching.
Today, Amy had on.
That I watch them either, but I've seen the commercial.
You know, my woman is on vacation. And that means she's going to drink a cup of tea and sit around in her pajamas and watch girl shows. It's every wedding show. It's every makeover show. And today she was watching. She watched, like, back-to-back, like, The View, The Chew, and The Talk. She watched, like, she watched them all. Ellen might have been in there somewhere.
Ellen's on.
And Ellen, by the way, we might have to do, in addition to the year, we might have to do a Hall of Fame.
Well, that's
asshole list.
I had that issue too because I said somebody like Ellen really didn't do anything worse this year than she's done in other years. But
just
every
year
she sucks. Yeah.
Jay Leno's been an asshole since '93.
Sure. Right.
Right. Every year he does something shitty, which is his show every night, which is terrible.
Yeah.
Ellen every day does that bad show.
Sure.
So maybe we need a Hall of Fame asshole list
that could be
in
a special
perpetuity.
Show. Yeah, I agree. I agree. That's a good idea.
But she was watching The Chew and The Talk and all that yappity-yap stuff all day.
Yeah.
And I did not see the Russell Simmons ad, but I'll take your word for it.
Well, you know, it's probably two nice of shows.
Mm-hmm.
Probably The View is kind of a wealthy audience.
I'm kind of surprised that Sean Penn wasn't down at Occupy Wall Street.
I don't know.
Is he too busy pulling landmines out of
Sudan
or whatever?
I don't know where he lies in the whole Occupy.
He moved to Haiti. Like, he made Haiti his thing. That's his whole
good
thing.
For him.
Right?
You know, I can't hate a guy. If you're really saying you love Haiti and then you move there, I'm good with that.
But Sean Penn, you can call him an asshole, but I will say he really does go out there and do, like, I think Angelina Jolie shows up for a photo shoot.
Sure.
But Sean Penn is
Sean Penn is doing
He's got
thing.
A shovel. He's, you know, he's making pens for chickens in Haiti and stuff. He's actually out there doing it.
He might be that mental that he really needs to do it.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
He can stop making bad movies, but that's good. Stay in Haiti and help them. All right, well.
Give me a number 12.
I'd say Russell Simmons. I'd missed all of this Russell Simmons.
Sure. Well, like.
But for that reality show that he used to have with his stupid family.
Oh,
yeah.
Kimora? What was that? I don't know what that is.
Reasonable candidate. I'll give you that.
Okay,
all right.
Russell Simmons.
Well.
Give me a number 12, Corey. Come on.
Give you a number 12.
Number 12.
I'm going to give you a. Oh, boy. This is tough. We'll start off light and easy. Piers Morgan. That's
Piers Morgan.
Number 12.
I don't even know if there's explanations necessary.
Do you have to really say anything about Piers Morgan?
Well, let me just look at the guy. But
I'm sure
you have a specific.
What a
thing.
Load.
Do you have a specific?
I got it. Yeah.
You don't. It's just one
of them. Here's what it is. He took over Larry King's show and actually made the ratings worse.
You know, that is an accomplishment.
How do you achieve that?
Is,
that?
Yeah.
Okay. Larry King,
sub-zero rating.
This is Larry King's show for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
It's Larry King talks about how he went to the deli. He was getting glassy eyes. He was staring at the wall.
Yeah.
He was every night, and it was like whatever murder victim, whatever blonde woman disappeared in Antigua this week. Their parents would come on and talk about how they hated the Dutch man that killed them. And his show was brutally wretched and awful. Or it would be, tonight, Connie Stevens.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be, right? It'd be some old fart.
No one more beautiful than Kim Novak.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
yeah.
What year is it, Larry?
You just, right.
Yeah.
You just, tonight, one-on-one with Jaden Mancy.
A full hour with Angie Dickinson.
Right.
Like, that's like anyone's looking for that.
I love Angie Dickinson, but sure, her day is over. Her day is done.
So Piers for the talk show.
The wonderful Connie Selica tonight.
Not so much for his...
But Piers came on.
His phone hacking thing that just came
up. Well, it's all of it. Okay. The whole package, okay? He walks off America's Got Talent.
Yeah, he did.
Which was the only thing he did that was worth a crap.
Right, yeah.
That show is not great. but it's watchable. He worked in the format of it. You had to have a heel, and now Howard Stern is going to take that job.
Which hopefully he'll do his
job. Here's another reason to be mad at Piers. He left that gig giving Howard the opportunity to do it, which means as a listener of the Howard Stern Show, I'm going to get significantly fewer live episodes of the Howard Stern Show. Right? Maybe. How much time is Howard going to be on?
I don't know.
Because he's going to watch some grandma make a fart noise in, you know.
He's going to, yeah.
And then we're going to have to hear how hard it is to travel, because he's going to have to fly to Seattle to watch toddlers ride unicycles.
Exactly.
And it's going to be this crap. We're going to have to watch a Scotch Terrier jump through a fire hoop, and Howard's going to tell him how. Piers Morgan couldn't stay in the one job he was fucking good at. He had to go to CNN and stink that joint up.
Yeah, well, he's...
Phone hacking. On top of that, his old job was editor of a shitty tabloid that did despicable things and hid in people's garbage. And
yeah,
you know,
he denies all that stuff.
Well, boo-hoo. Piers Morgan, piss off.
All right.
Go back to England.
That's a good pick.
All right.
I agree
Thank
with
you.
That. He wasn't anywhere even on my list, but he's a good. And by the way, if I hit a guy on your list, you feel free to. Although Corey's sort of freestyling a list a little bit.
Well, we're.
He's picking from a greater list.
I have a
list.
Long list of names.
My names are pre-ranked.
Yeah, I'm gonna,
I guess I could, you know,
I'm checking,
I could call an audible
I'm
here.
I'm checking mine off.
All right, well, here's my number 11, and this is like...
They're all worthy on my
this
list.
This is guaranteed. It's got to be on your list. If not, you're going to be like, how did I miss that? But my number 11, Hank Williams Jr.
Oh, I did miss that.
You missed him. Oh, he was the... I mean, first of all, that song's been ruining Monday Night Football for years and years. Okay? So then you get him with his Are You Ready for Some Football song, just horrible. But he made some... Oh, he compared Obama to Hitler, which... You know, if you don't like Obama, that's okay, but he ain't Hitler. You know, he's a lot of, you know, he might be Jimmy Carter, but he ain't Hitler. So
he did what Hank Williams did, and this is a problem. I would say if you're in the public eye, make a choice early on in your career. If you're a comedian, okay, Brian Regan is not doing political material.
Sure. Yeah.
Jim Gaffigan doesn't do political material, right? Bill Maher does political material.
Right. Yeah.
Pick your side. Or pick your realm,
sure,
and go with it. From you know what I mean?
Well, yeah. I mean,
no one will ever have Hank Williams on a panel somewhere for his political opinion,
you know,
right? So he goes on.
I think he wanted to join in the fray, though.
Well, but he was terrible at it too. Yeah. That's the other thing. You know, it's one thing if he was a conservative. Look, there's plenty of country guys, Trace Adkins and all the whoever who are real conservatives, and they come out and they talk about it. I don't mind that, and obviously there's all kinds of people like Sean Penn and Alec Baldwin and all these people. But guess what? Affleck, Penn, Baldwin, the guys that really are political, tend to have an opinion.
Right.
That
they're
seems
out there.
To have been formed.
Yeah.
It seems to have been formed. What bothers me from Hank Williams is he sounded like an old drunk. Right?
Isn't that what he is, though?
Right.
I mean,
well, he sounded like your old drunk uncle that just spouts off about these queers is ruining everything. Yeah. And don't do that if you've been in show business for 30 years. Don't suddenly just stumble out and start calling people names.
My grandpa would scream about calling Reagan a drugstore cowboy over and over.
Oh, really?
And sitting in his chair because, you know, he was mad at Reagan for some reason.
Your grandpa was mad at Reagan?
My grandpa, yeah. My mom's dad, who was kind of mental. Hated Reagan.
Well,
yeah, but I mean, it's just like, you know, if you're going to be political, like it's something like a barber.
But your grandpa, bless him, wasn't on a you know, a Country Music Hall of Famer or whatever.
No,
Hank
he
Williams.
Was not. But, you know, it's just like.
But he's terrible.
But there's people like Barbara Streisand who, when it's election year, they come out of the woodwork and they're everywhere and they're speaking out. And then then they go away and they sing their dumb songs and we leave them alone. And I think Hank was thinking he could get away with that. Like, he could just do his Monday Night Football song and no one would care that he's running around calling.
I have no problem with somebody who does something else for a living having a political opinion and expressing it. It's when you're no good at it.
Yeah.
A lot of people are. No, hell, Elizabeth Hasselbeck has a job doing and she's terrible at it.
Right.
She can't make. Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if you compared, like, whatever. I don't agree with it either, but if you listen to what Laura Ingraham says compared to what Elizabeth says. You know, Laura Ingraham is making a point. It might not be right, but Elizabeth sounds like meow 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 meow.
She's
a dummy, and Bo Cephas is a big hillbilly, and Joel can't even eat a chocolate.
That's how I feel. I'm the asshole. Although it landed on the power cable.
Oh well, it's all good then. All right, we all know the power cable rule.
Give us the number 11, Corey. Come on.
All right. Oh, I got to. If it's me again.
You're...
All right. Oh, boy. I'm going to go. This is a tough one. I'm going to go with Harold Camping. Are you familiar with his work?
No, tell me what he did.
Harold Camping predicted the world would end not once, but twice this year. Gave a date and a time.
Yeah, I can see the guy now. I've seen him on the news.
He's an old coot. He's an old codger in one of those like polyester suits from like 1978. He bought at Sears. And he predicted the day and date and time. He was like, it's going to be Saturday at 5:30. It's all going to be over. The skies will turn black and lava will spit out from every orifice.
It was May something, right?
Yeah. But then he went, whoop, whoop. Then that day came. That day came as the prophecy had spoken. The Lord whispered in his ear and gave him an exact time and date. And then when the time and date went, oops, he went, well, I was wrong, clearly, and recalculated and then gave a date like 3 months later.
That's a good call.
And the date came again. And not a damn thing happened.
That is pretty great.
Yeah. You're a jerk off. Thank you.
No explanation even necessary like, beyond that. That guy's
even Jack Van Impe, okay, if you've ever seen the Jack Van Impe, who's our fault, by the way, he's from Troy.
Okay.
And I'll get into the city of Troy, Michigan later. I got another candidate from that list. Their whole show is that the rapture is coming and you got to prepare and the Lord and they do, and his dumb wife Rexella gets on there and they read news stories. Now there's Putin in Russia is starting to flex his muscles and it's said and he'll come on and go in Jeremiah verses 17:22 a bear shall crap in the woods and thus shall spake it the Lord Zion. And
teasing Armageddon has been, you know, the church's stock and trade for years, and I get that, but this guy is just a dummy for picking a day.
Right.
Like ruining the gravy train. Yeah.
But that's how Van Impe keeps the money flowing.
Right,
he never gives you a time.
It's coming.
It'll be here any day, right?
It's coming.
Right. This is like if you're on an airplane.
Better get ready.
It's like if you're on an airplane and you're taxiing and you're waiting to like take off. They never tell you, we're going to be leaving at 2:45.
Right.
They just go, we're going to be leaving in a few minutes here, folks. That's what
prepare
you do.
For,
leave some wiggle room. Harold Camping called the date and time.
Yeah, it's like
5:30 on Saturday. It's all over.
You think it'd be like preaching 101 is don't be too specific.
Yeah.
Be kind of vague, Harold.
Right, right.
Just a little more vagueness.
I mean, know your business. I mean, for God's sakes.
All right, here's my number 10. This is a group of people, and I apologize for having a group, but I could probably pick out one of the names of these people, but I'm going to go into general things. I don't know where exactly to lay the blame, but the producers of The Walking Dead.
Oh! Okay.
Now, I say this because Walking Dead season one was 6 episodes, and it was great, right? Mm. Comes on, 6 episodes, and it's moving fast. It's like a movie every week. It's great. Then they start season two where you have to do 13 episodes instead of 6. Somehow in pre-production, the guy, why am I blanking on the guy's name? Who's the guy that...
Darabont.
Frank Darabont was the executive producer and directed the pilot and all that stuff. And so he bails, it's for some reason, going
contract dispute.
Well, here's my point.
You could put AMC, the executives of AMC, on your assholes of the year list. Because what they do is they get hit shows, and then they go, but we're AMC. Yeah. We don't have any money.
So something happened with him, and I don't know if it's because Darabont left that it sucked or if he left because he knew he didn't want his name on it because he knew it was going to suck. They decided to spend essentially 13 episodes, and this is only the first half of the season or whatever. I'm there, 10 or I forget how many it was, because the first half of season two is over, in the same exact spot at this farmhouse. Now, when you watch season one, every episode they were moving.
Yeah.
Like, they'd go here and fight the zombies and kill them all, and then they'd go, we got to get here. And they'd pick up a couple people to party, and they'd go to the next town, and it'd be a new challenge. They sat at this fucking farmhouse talking to each other about the end of the world. And then, like, you know, every 30 minutes a zombie would walk by, and they'd shoot it in the head, and they'd go back to talking to each other. It was the dullest fucking shit. And, look, I still think the show's good, but they really changed the pacing of it. They just really kind of
this happens in television.
It does, yeah.
Frank Darabont, he's made things people like The Green Mile.
Shawshank Redemption, The Mist.
The Shawshank Redemption is his big thing. He did The Majestic with Jim Carrey, which I think gets unfairly slagged. But
I think Frank Darabont's a talented guy.
Yeah. So what you do is you get a talented guy who's a film director on a television show. And you're going to nickel and dime him over...
Yeah, see, that's why I don't know who to blame. I blame Darabont. I could blame somebody.
I'm blaming AMC.
Okay.
Because they pulled the same crap on Mad Men. Okay.
Yeah.
Mad Men which we'll get into when we talk about television in another episode.
Yeah.
But Mad Men was such a big cultural milestone. It's a decent-sized hit for a cable show. It's not the biggest hit in the world. But it allowed them, it allowed them to do Breaking Bad. You know, AMC picked up this show that HBO passed on, and they made a hit out of it. And it not only was a hit, but it's a cultural hit where it's everybody talks about it. So what do? The guy who writes it, who directs it, who created it, Wiener, they go, no, we don't want to pay you.
Yeah.
And then there's a contract fight with them on every Mad Men where they don't want to. No one was watching. AMC was running reruns of Hamburger Hill. You know what I mean? Like, that's what they do, right? It's like she wore a yellow ribbon and, you know, what's the movie?
Meet Me in St. Louis.
Yeah. What's the movie where Jane Fonda teaches De Niro to read? I mean, you know, it's a, right?
But you know what?
It's that crap.
They weren't even showing movies that were that good. AMC used to be classic movies, and now it's just schlock anyway.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just
it
garbage.
Was, it was like Candyman 2.
Yeah, it's not good. It
wasn't good stuff. Or, you know, they'd show an Eastwood movie.
And you know
what?
When they're not showing these original series, they fucking suck a big bag of dick, too.
Right.
They still suck. They don't know what
to
do.
But they have great shows.
Yeah.
And then somebody smart enough to pick these shows up and go, yeah, and get the right people in place. And then somebody in the executive level goes, yeah, why don't we fuck with this every step of the process?
I think they're having issues with, they're not HBO because they don't make as much money.
They don't make subscription fees.
Well, I think they probably get paid per subscriber, but it might be 5 cents or something.
Did
and
you read, speaking of HBO, did you read the ratings on the shows they canceled?
Which, yeah, and you know what people are blaming that on is that they're blaming it on, they have a Go app that you can get now and people are watching it later or something.
Well, DVR, that's the problem.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Also, HBO reruns things every day.
Yeah.
You don't have to watch it when it's on.
Well,
people would watch The Sopranos on Sunday night when it was on because they wanted to talk about it on Monday.
They canceled Bored to Death, which was the only show that I really cared about, although Hung they produced here in Michigan, and that's gone. And
that's probably canceled because the money is gone.
Right. Yeah, maybe from Michigan. But I think with Bored to Death, I think it was a deal where, like, Zach Galifianakis isn't free and Ted Danson's doing CSI and stuff. But they moved those shows off of Sunday, too, and they put them on Monday, which Sunday is kind of HBO night, and they moved them from there, too, and then their ratings went down. And,
well, it's Sunday. It's Monday, is HBO night unless football's on.
The thing about HBO, though, is that they're not supposed to be ratings specific.
No, but literally, Bored to Death was pulling 200,000 viewers.
Yeah.
So that's bad.
It's bad, but it shouldn't matter anyway, because when 200,000 people pay $10 a month for it, that's a shitload of money.
HBO is essentially one big prestige factory. It's really, it's kind of like Weinstein Studios, where they don't really have big hits, but they have Oscar picks.
But, you know, HBO
every year Harvey Weinstein gets a movie in the Oscar race. Mm-hmm. And that, you know what I mean? That's what HBO is. It's all
But,
that.
You know, the fact that people pay for it versus AMC, which, you know, is in so many more homes than HBO, but the fact that people are paying big money for it means that they should be able to keep these shows around. So I don't think Bored to Death was canceled because it sucked or because people weren't watching. I think it's more of a scheduling thing. But, well, you know,
whenever
it wouldn't have hurt it to have more viewers, but it was a great show. Three awesome seasons.
Now, I'm sure we could pull out some examples in the history of television where they fired the original creator and director and the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, okay, West Wing, the same thing. Aaron Sorkin was running the whole show. Then he was doing coke because he had to write every episode, and they got rid of him. And then the West Wing went, you know.
The comic book, the guy that wrote the comic book, I think it's Robert Kirkland is his name, he's still on Walking Dead, so some people believe that he's the original author and not Darabont. Anyway, so that's my number.
No, but Darabont made 10. The show and the style of the show and the whole thing. Stop. This is, you know what? You could list all network executives because they all do this. They all
My feeling is if the show's good and then Darabont leaves and then it sucks, I'm going to give Darabont some credit.
Right, so exactly.
I'm not going to pick him as the asshole. That's my number 10. Give us a number 10, Corey. Come on.
I'm going to go with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I mean, come on.
I don't know why you really? I'm sure.
Yeah, why would
my sarcasm.
Why would Arnold get a now Arnold left office in 2010?
Yeah, I think he was up.
He's already out. He'd already left the governorship. And you could blame, and strictly based on his wonderful performance in California, which is like the 11th largest economy in the world or something, and yet he was dreadful.
Well, I mean,
he was just a dreadful governor.
I think he came in and did stuff that was like needed to get done, but at the same time,
he wasn't. He was not a terrific governor.
No, he was not. He didn't.
The whole thing was on fire. I mean, the whole state was a mess.
Yeah, California did not thrive under him. Again, it's sort of like, you know,
California's probably had three governors in a row that sucked.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Right.
It's just been.
Well, Greg Davis was recalled, and that's how he got elected. And then he won a general election after that. So
yeah.
Anyway,
but anyway.
Go ahead, lay down what Arnold was up to this year.
It's that Arnold Schwarzenegger, once the most, the icon of manliness, right? The mm-hmm. single most perfected human form in some people's eyes as Mr. Universe.
Mm-hmm.
The muscle-building icon, the action star Conan,
yeah,
Commando, you know, the Terminator. He could pull any woman in the world.
Yeah.
Any quality tookie. Even now. In his 60s, because he was a governor.
Sure, yeah. He's rich and famous.
He's not only one of the greatest action stars of all time, governor of a state, right?
That's
and as we've
good.
Shown, politicians can pull tail,
right? He's got, yes.
I'm sure there's other guys on one of these lists.
One of these lists.
That's going to be a politician who was knee-deep in Tukey.
Getting laid.
He bangs a sack of Frijoles that you wouldn't pick up. It looked like he scraped her up off a burrito cart in Encinita. It's the skankiest
right.
looking.
You look at her and go, God, what are you, some cleaning lady? And that's exactly who it was.
No, she did. She looked like the lady that cleans the toilet at the Tejano nightclub on Verner in Southwest Detroit. Right. I mean, she just hideous.
Housekeeping.
I don't even want to get this to be a race thing. Okay,
right, it's not, but
because that broad is fugly in any ethnicity.
Right.
That is just beat with an ugly shovel.
She was
not just a stick, a shovel.
Yeah.
Just horrible. And he knocks that up and has a child with her.
Well, right under his wife's nose and the kids in the house.
This also leads to another thing. He's lazy.
How is he lazy?
Because he bangs the housekeeper.
Well, that's
right?
Crime of opportunity.
But this is the dumbest thing you can do.
Right, don't bang the housekeeper.
Guys, I should write a book, How to Cheat.
No.
I should make it. I should, not that I do.
But you know how to do it if necessary.
Not that I do this thing. It's just a theoretical.
Yeah.
But guys make the same mistakes all the time. And what they do is they go, well, she's nearby. And they go, it's the first, right?
Right.
Now, maybe if you're the governor, it's hard. You got a security detail. Yeah. You're busy. You're flying a helicopter. Yeah. To, you know, here and there's always some fire in California. There's always some forest fire to go to.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're too busy to look for trim otherwise. Bill Clinton went to extraordinary lengths to get tail of all kinds.
Well, but Lewinsky that brought him down was opportunistic.
Better looking than this, bro.
Yeah, but it was opportunistic because she was a White House intern.
Right,
so.
Right. But that was, and how'd that work
out? That's usually how it works.
Hold on. How'd that work out for Bill?
It didn't.
Right?
Yeah.
It
was bad.
That didn't work out. By the way, his real mistress just died this year.
Who was the real man? What are you talking about?
Eleanor Mondale.
Oh, Eleanor Mondale.
That is,
wow,
by the way, that is the most... poorly reported detail of the entire Clinton
it's
scandal.
In the Star report that she had visits.
She had private
Sunday morning visits.
She had private 45-minute sessions with the President of the United States.
Well, she was on E-Television. I'm
right,
sure they
right,
had important
right.
business.
How does that work out again?
Yeah,
private meeting. Eleanor Mondale.
She's
which was a nice piece of ass, by the way.
But she banged Arnold, by the way. So we can
did
tie it
Eleanor
all together.
Mondale?
Yeah, she
well,
was
good.
Stern
but
talked to her about it.
Arnold
back in the 70s or whatever.
What I'm saying is, okay.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put my dick in that maid.
Right?
And I've been on the road in comedy and I've had to look at options parallel to that, almost on par, and go, well, I'm in Ames, Iowa in February. I'm in Danville, Illinois.
Yeah.
This is and I didn't do it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it. And Arnold Schwarzenegger does it and gets busted like a schnook.
Yeah, that's real. I mean, you just really look like a lowlife when that happens. So,
I mean, look, he would have been a creep if he banged a bunch of hot chicks too, like Tiger Woods.
Yeah,
but at least Tiger, although Tiger was out of his fucking mind,
because
didn't he bang a waitress from Perkins?
It was. I thought it was the Howard Johnson's.
Wasn't even a Denny's.
It might have been
a Perkins.
It was Howard Johnson's or Perkins.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, Arnold's a complete skunk. What a
piece of garbage. All right.
All right. Number nine. I guess. I mean, I don't know if this is politics or where I'm at, but. Saif Al-Islam Gaddafi.
Oh, well.
Do you know who that is?
That's the son.
It is the asshole son of Gaddafi,
yeah, yeah,
who is still alive. And you know what? If you don't know who this guy is, mm-hmm, if you've ever seen him talk, because he speaks like fluent English, and he did lots of press conferences about, you know, the rebels, and the rebels were going, mm-hmm, down, and America sucks, and blah, blah, blah. And he's kind of Western, this guy, and he really looks like every, you know.
He's very slick.
He looks like every camel jockey you've ever met. You know what I'm saying? I mean, not to be right, but you know what I'm saying?
I would imagine him to run a Verizon wireless store.
Exactly. He
in
looks
Southfield.
Like that.
Does he not
then,
look like that?
Not to mention, I'm not sure the exact details, but when, like, his father, they said he was on the run with his dad, or they all split up. I don't know what happened, but he ended up getting captured after his dad, mm-hmm, was killed.
Right.
So I'm not going to pick the dad because the dad's dead, and in a way, how are you an asshole when you're dead, and that's cool. This guy's still alive, and I'm not sure what's... I think they're going to put him on trial in Libya, which
right,
probably is going to... He means he's going to meet a cruel fate
that's
anyway.
That's not going to go well.
But I just... this son had just such a shit-eating grin, and, you know, look, the dad... Listen... I'm not saying the dad was a great... Look, the dad was a clear asshole, but he excelled in being that asshole. He actually... You know,
oh, he was...
Right. This son was just riding the coattails and talking right, a bunch right, of smack while his dad was out there wreaking havoc with the West and stuff and blowing up airplanes.
Well, no.
His son was doing none of that.
I think he's the George W. Bush of Arab dictators.
Something,
that,
yeah.
Right. No, it's the George Bush Sr. did it. He went to World War II.
Yeah.
CIA director, earned it,
yeah.
Texas, Senate, all this stuff. Then his son rolls in and gets, hey, I'm going to be the president.
Yeah.
This is the if you're the son of the guy who did the work, generally you're an a-hole.
Yeah, and if you've ever seen this guy talk, it's so apparent this guy's a jerk-off. And yeah.
William Clay Ford, there's an asshole.
And they had mansions, too. I don't know. I know the daughter, one of the daughters had this like amazing mansion. And, you know, when the rebels, mm-hmm, took over, they went through these places and they were like, you know, gold, you know, faucets and stuff. And, you know,
of course they were.
Middle Libya.
You know how much oil wealth Libya has? Yeah. It's a tiny country. What is there, like 7 million people in Libya?
Something like
they're
that.
It's all basically like... Mm-hmm.
They're on the coast and the rest is desert.
It's basically about a 30-mile run of civilization, and then it's deserts full of oil.
And oil.
And they are so loaded with money.
Anyway.
And no, but you're right. This is the guy. He was also the face man. Like, they sent him to school. I think, did he go to a school in America?
He might have, yeah. He was very westernized, this guy.
Right.
But yeah.
But they sent him out. He was Mr. Slicky Pants. Mm-hmm. And much like when Iraq was collapsing, mm-hmm, they sent him out to go give the ridiculous press conferences.
Yeah.
We're like, we are winning the war.
Yeah, that guy.
No, there's what? There's no. I don't hear an F-15.
Whatever happened to that guy?
That's not a missile.
That guy's in jail or something, isn't he?
Oh, Baghdad Bob?
Yeah.
I think they got him. But... Yeah, that's exactly what SAFE was.
The Iraqi Information
Ended
Minister.
Up being not SAFE.
Yeah.
Then they did catch his ass. I'm surprised they didn't kill him on the
spot. I think that guy went to jail, or was it? Maybe
no,
I'm getting confused with Tariq Aziz.
No, I'm talking Gaddafi's son.
Oh, Gaddafi's son.
They caught him. The rebels caught him.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they didn't gently.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think he's in.
I'm sure they didn't stop and read him his
he's
Miranda.
He's going to meet SAFE. But some of the kids, when the shit went down, they went to Algeria or something, and they got out. So he was, but he,
oh,
I
so
guess.
There's some Gaddafis.
There's some free Gaddafis, the daughter, I think, and maybe some other Gaddafis. But this guy was trying to be, you know, he was the henchman. And, you know, the henchman's always a bigger asshole than the dictator.
He was the voice box, and therefore bound to be the biggest asshole. All right, well, that's
Give me number 9,
good
Corey.
Good call.
Yeah, so you didn't even think of that guy. You need a pen or something?
Well, no, I'm just trying to decide who
give me a number 9.
Who will it be? Ashton Kutcher.
Ashton Kutcher, sure. He's on my extra list, sort of. Now, you could pick one of many things for putting Kutcher on the list. And
that's why.
Maybe it's, well, okay.
The whole thing.
Yeah, well, yeah,
I'm putting it all on him.
Yeah.
All right. Let's just run down a brief list, a litany.
I have one specific thing that he did that was annoying.
First off, he took Charlie Sheen's gig.
Wow.
Charlie Sheen, no.
Okay.
Save your fire for Charlie Sheen when he comes up. But, Kutcher came in there and took the show that had been running for, you know, forever how long. Now, the ratings are actually good with Ashton Kutcher in there.
Number one comedy on TV.
Yeah, they're on par or better than the Charlie Sheen was at certain points. But it's still kind of a dicky move to come in there and be the guy and be like, and he's terrible. He can't act. He was in a movie called Valentine's Day that came out in February, directed by Gary Marshall.
Yeah.
He was in another movie called No Strings Attached, with Natalie Portman that was the worst of the two movies about attractive people in their 20s who like to bang but not pretend that they're dating. He was actually in the worst one of those. The one with goddamn Timberlake was better than that.
I wouldn't know. I saw.
He's horrific. Yeah. He's a model who's he was an underwear model, like a Calvin Klein model, and he pretends he can act. The guy's terrible. Yeah. I got to see his dumb ass on commercials all the time.
Yeah, he is on
then
annoying commercials.
He's the king of Twitter.
Yeah,
and this is douchery enough. Yeah. All the Twittering, all the I got 3 million Twitter followers. Yeah. Blah blah blah.
Did he give up his Twitter?
Well, he did, and this is another asshole reason.
Right.
He got on and said, how are you going to fire Joe Paterno?
Yeah, that was my number one reason. Like, he was so unaware of what was going on at Penn State that he thought Joe Paterno getting fired was like some travesty of justice. He's such an idiot.
That's why I don't need a political opinion on Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah.
You smile. Right. You look pretty. You punk people. You high-five Simon Rex.
Right.
You do whatever bullshit you got
to
do.
If you want to have an opinion on Joe Paterno, at least have an informed opinion. At least understand what's happening at Penn State before you comment.
Dummy!
And he's like, oh, I didn't even know what was going on. How am I supposed to know?
And, again, got caught.
By the way, they're bringing Punk'd back with him.
Oh, good.
So you can
bringing back Fear Factor.
He can be the 2012 asshole, too.
Weakest link. You are the
He didn't even mention Demi. He cheated on
Demi. No, and he cheated on Demi.
Cheated on Demi.
Which,
I don't blame a guy for that.
No.
You can't call a guy an asshole.
Demi Moore, she's gorgeous. She is one of the milfiest women in the world. She's, for her age, she looks spectacular. But he got caught. Again. Don't get caught, dummy. How do you? I mean, at least I can't be as hard as him as I was on Schwarzenegger for just, you know, Schwarzenegger could have literally put his cock in a pile of mud and it would have been more attractive than what he ended up impregnating.
Well, Kutcher's banging some young broads. So,
no, he's getting a high quality tail. I'm not going to be mad at him for that. Listen, but don't get caught with it.
Well, don't be married to her either. You get some young tail. Plenty of time to marry an old, dried up Scarlett Johansson or something down the road. You know what I mean?
Yeah, did he marry Demi Moore?
Because he's looking to be in the papers.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my feeling, is like he's a guy who will do anything to get in the papers.
Yeah.
And, you know, when he wasn't getting in the papers for being married to Demi, he divorced Demi. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then now he's in the papers. All right. So we'll get to my number eight. And this is the one that I think you're going to have the biggest problem with as far as.
Go ahead.
And it's not because I don't like the guy, because I love the guy and I know you do too. But I just, when I thought about this, I'll tell you what happened. I saw a movie this guy did.
Okay.
And I said, you know what? And I was shocked by how much I disliked this movie. But my number eight is Conan O'Brien.
Ooh.
And here's why. Let me explain.
You didn't like the movie?
Okay, I didn't like the movie. Well, first of all, he did this. Well, okay, so we all know what happened to Conan. He got pushed off the Tonight Show. Mm-hmm. He went on this Fakakta tour. Mm-hmm. And then he made a movie about it called Conan O'Brien Can't Stop. And I'm not blaming it. First of all, I didn't think the movie was very funny at all.
I loved the movie.
I hated the movie. I hated it. I listened to it with the commentary. I got it on Blu-ray. I rented it. And the commentary was actually pretty funny. But I didn't think anything in the movie, like, the movie is Conan going out playing Chuck Berry songs. Like, you're a comedian, dude. I already hated him for that. That's not 2011 stuff.
Let me just defend the movie for a second.
Okay.
I thought the best parts of the movie were just him in the back of a car somewhere. It wasn't. You're right. It was a lot of him doing
But here's my
rockabilly tunes. But the stuff with him and Andy.
Yeah.
And just when they were in the airplane and they were in the bus and in the car and in the hotel room and backstage. Yeah. And when everybody was coming back, John Hamm and everybody was coming back to like visit him backstage. That I felt was really representative of you've been backstage with comics like that.
And they showed
I thought he was really
they showed him being an asshole. And I'm not picking him saying he's gonna, because he was an asshole when he's like, I don't want to meet all these people and you know these
that
people
was
are coming
great.
Backstage. It was great. And I'm not picking, well, here's my bigger overreaching fact was, okay, so in the movie, you know, he gets this TBS deal and he's sort of making fun of it. But my feeling is the show is really probably the bigger reason why he's on. I didn't think the movie was funny. But, you know, that's not all his fault.
You got a problem with the show.
My feeling is he went on basic cable, and he didn't try at all. In other words, he just became basic cable. Here's a guy that's coming from network who had this great show, the Late Night Show. Even the Tonight Show with Conan was good. Mm-hmm. And yet he goes on basic cable, and he basically is doing, he's doing the Tonight Show light. And my feeling is he's not,
well,
he's kind of just, You know what? He's working at the level that he's at.
The Peter principle.
And is that really the Peter principle? The Peter principle means you're at a level too high for you. His is almost the Peter principle in reverse. He's in a level. He's better than TBS. But rather than going on doing on a show that's going to blow away everything else on basic cable, he's on doing basically a basic cable talk show.
Right.
And it's not good. Not event television. I wish it was.
You're absolutely right.
It's not event television.
The old Conan show.
Yeah.
That everybody loves. Mm-hmm. Much like David Letterman. Okay. Now, David Letterman is still, to me, appointment viewing based on the guest.
I agree with that, sure.
I'm not going to watch Conan. I'm not going to watch Dave every night of the week.
Yeah.
But if he's got somebody interesting on.
If he's got Kate Beckinsale, no need to watch. But
no, but if he's got Herman Cain on, okay. I want to watch.
He'll
and see
be good
what
with
Dave
Herman
does,
Cain, yeah.
Or I want to see. Or, you know, or if he's got somebody who doesn't do a lot of interviews or whatever. Dave's a great interviewer.
Sure.
You got to be good at something, right? Mm-hmm. Leno claims, I'm the king of the monologue. That's Leonard.
Yeah, that's Leno wants that. Yeah, sure.
We could start our dueling Leno impressions.
No, we're not.
But that's what Leno cares about, yeah. Is he's like, I'm the king of the monologue.
That's what he thinks his draw is.
And people, as much as I think it's terrible and as much as road hacks claim that they write for it, you know, and it's probably true, a lot of road hacks do send in jokes to Leno. Are those bells?
These are peanut butter bells. Would you like one?
Forget this show. I was talking
I didn't
about
realize.
Leno.
There you go, right there. There's one. You see it there?
But, yeah.
No, but I. Your point is that Conan, what is Conan known for?
What's Conan good? Well, Ferguson is known for having kind of a loosey-goosey, anything-goes,
sure.
Wild show.
Yeah.
Jimmy Fallon is known not for his interviews, which are horrendous.
He plays these wacky games.
For his bits and his games, and he does songs.
Yeah, celebrity impress.
Jimmy Kimmel is known for being the luckiest son of a bitch to
ever. Kimmel's thing is he's the king of sort of the YouTube videos and sort of the news clips.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what it is.
But Kimmel's got more of a newsworthy show. You're right. Nothing newsworthy ever happens on Conan.
Conan's thing was he had Triumph and he had these characters and NBC took those away from him and stuff.
But they're coming, but they got him back.
Did they get him back also? Because I know when he went to New York, Triumph went to Occupy New York and stuff, and it was funny. But I don't know if they're all back. I just feel like you never see clips of Conan. You don't hear people talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
I read an article recently about Conan. They were saying, you know, if everyone who claimed they love Conan watched the show, it wouldn't be in danger of being canceled because they're talking about, you know. Yeah. They canceled Lopez probably because Conan was lagging. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think if Conan was hot, the spillover might have kept Lopez alive.
But that didn't make any sense, that because I thought the whole plan was TBS was like, we're going to build something. We're going to have a comedy brand, and we're going to have Conan and Lopez. Now, the Lopez show was dreadful.
Okay. Yeah, I agree.
He had the worst set I've ever seen. He was on this giant soundstage.
Yeah, it was a little ridiculous.
And it was really busy, and you couldn't tell where. Like, it was surrealistic. There was so much stuff going on behind him.
It was like a Broadway show, and then Lopez would walk out.
And look, talk shows kind of are sometimes mercurial. Everybody wants you to be Johnny Carson and have a 30-year career. Well, that ain't the way it works.
Yeah.
Sometimes with talk shows, guys get hot for a minute. You know, Arsenio Hall, perfect example. Had 5 years where he was untouchable. Mm-hmm. Arsenio was dynamite for 5 years. Then people went,
they got bored with it.
Seen it.
Yeah.
Craig Kilborn had a 5-year run and he was doing fine. But then people were like, we don't miss him and he's gone.
Yeah.
So this notion that you can be a talk show host for the rest of your life isn't always true.
Yeah. Conan's got to get off TBS, I think. I mean, I just don't think TBS is the place.
I would say the movie is the best example of what you're talking about. In the movie, Conan is really funny and really smart off the top of his head. And he makes, like, I'm blanking on it, but he makes, like, references, like, opera jokes. He makes, like, these really smart, funny jokes. Mean. He's got an edge. Like, in that movie, he rips on everybody around him and his, like, executive assistants and all. And he's, like, really has a mean edge to him. And he's funny. Then he goes on the TBS show, and it's all, what I hate about Conan's show is, well, you can't say that. Oh, my. When somebody comes on
and
there
and they swear,
it's like the Family Feud effect, which I can't stand on that show.
Yeah, that show, that could be.
That show.
That Steve Harvey Family Feud is.
Forget this, all right?
That's the biggest thing.
There you go. Asshole of the year, the Family Feud.
Yeah, that's it.
Forget it.
Throw the list away.
But what I'm saying is, I agree with you.
I thought you'd fight me on
No, I still like...
We disagree on the movie. I didn't think the movie was very fun. My girlfriend came in halfway, like I was watching it, and she came home, and she's like, "What do you want? I'm watching the Conan movie," and I finished it, and I go, "Well, I'll leave this here for you to finish if you want in the morning." She goes, "No, I'm good." Like, she just didn't give a fuck.
She might, she's not probably a big Conan fan to begin with,
To me, it sort of exposed him as being not... I don't know. He just seemed... At the show... The show's just not great. I mean, the movie isn't all his fault, but I don't think that tour is exactly what people wanted from him either. You know, he went out and he just...
No, he kind of went out and did what he wanted to do.
Versus what sort of made him famous. And I know that there's a vocal minority of Conan fans, but I think he's playing... You know, in wrestling, they'll talk about, you know, you're playing to the internet audience. In other words...
To the smarks?
Yeah, you're playing to the marks. And you're not playing to your base, which is everybody else. And that the vocal Conan people, the people that are on the website and the message boards and all that, they're so into him and everything he does is great that he doesn't get, you know, he can't see the forest for the trees.
Almost. Well, I actually think that the opposite is the case.
Why?
I think he's not playing to the marks.
Well, if you the tour was for the marks.
Mm-hmm.
The Conan, the TBS show, I just think is like, you know.
Who's it for?
It's people who are watching Family Guy and then go like, oh, this shit's on. I'm going to watch something else. And they'll go find Family Guy on some other channel. You know, it's just, he needs to be on Comedy Central to be viable in that format. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, they got shows that are doing better than his show. And so that's not happening. And I really honestly see him getting canceled. And I see him maybe writing a television show or something. I don't know what I see. I don't know. Do you see any future? I mean,
Yeah, I do.
I mean, I could see them. I could see if Conan was a free agent, and they could get rid of Kilbourne and put Conan on. I could see that. Well, I could see him taking over for Letterman if Letterman left or something. But I don't see him on cable on anything but Comedy Central.
They claim that they couldn't make the Fox deal work over coverages.
Yeah,
that they couldn't clear the show. Mm-hmm. Bunk. He should have gone on Fox, and he should have because much like Howard Stern. Conan,
but who turned down who on Fox?
I think Conan's people did.
See, I don't know. In the movie, it's hard to say in the movie.
Now we're talking inside politics on Conan, and we can talk about this for hours. I kind of agree with you. I still like Conan. I still like his show. It's not as good as it once was with the coked out werewolf and the pimp bot. Because one, those writers have all left. I mean, he had guys like Louis C.K. writing for him. Yeah. He had, you know, Smigel. He had Dino Stamatopoulos, who's now on Community. He had a lot of great writers working on the show, and the vibe isn't there anymore. Much like Letterman's show when it was on NBC at late night was brilliant.
It's just not
now.
What,
it's kind of just there.
I was a big Conan fan, and now I kind of go by it. And I'll stop sometimes, and sometimes I just kind of keep going. And
well,
there's times I do set out to watch it, and I watch it, and I'm just going, eh. It's just not. It's just something's missing. He's trying to do the same show in a different venue, and it's not working. And it's time for him to freshen it up.
Yeah, it's true. And you know what? To some extent, it's a shame because pretty much everybody in show business is like this.
Well,
Who's good for 40 years?
Nah, nobody.
There you go.
I mean, he doesn't need to do Tosh.0, but he needs to do something. He doesn't need to be that inside or that cutting edge internet geek, but you got to do
break
something.
The format to some extent.
You got to do something.
Yeah,
I mean Fallon, who isn't 1/10 as funny as Conan, is at least more innovative in the risks he's taking on his show.
Mm-hmm.
And Conan was the risk taker in late night.
Well,
he always had that rep, and he doesn't have that anymore.
Jimmy's 10 years younger than Conan.
Okay,
Conan got to the mountaintop, and the mountaintop crumbled underneath him.
Yeah.
So now he's dumb. He's foolishly. Trying to rebuild the mountaintop.
Instead of building it on TBS.
Instead of building a bunker.
But there's a foundation. The foundation isn't there.
All right, well,
TBS,
you know what?
Is not the place.
Blame Gavin Malone or Pallone or whoever signed the deal with TBS. Anyway.
But I just feel like it's also because he wants to do that format. He's so married to he's going to be Johnny Carson, and he's not.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's Johnny Carson.
It's
Johnny Carson's dead.
And you know why no one else is Johnny Carson? Because there was nothing fucking on when Johnny was on.
All right, let's move it along. Come on. We're only a third of the way through this. Number nine.
I could go on about this Carson thing forever. Where are we at now?
Other ones won't be as lengthy.
I got to pick one?
You got to pick a number nine, yeah.
I'll pick a number nine.
No, you can be number eight. I'm sorry.
Number eight. I'm going to go with Rebecca Black.
I'm just going to laugh at that. I mean,
there you go.
I don't. Tell everybody what she did. If they've shown people,
you know what she did.
I know what she did.
You know what she did, and the listeners know what she did, and we'll never forgive her for it. Friday. Waiting for the weekend.
She sucked.
God damn it, did that suck?
Come on.
What?
Every girl of her age wants to be like a pop star. They all want to be Selena Gomez or something. And her parents wrote a check to some guy. By the way, the guy who wrote the song, if you know this, the guy who does that horrible rap in the middle of it is the guy who wrote the song.
Yeah, he's the
So he's the guy that's really responsible for it.
I know. I didn't look his name up. I didn't look his name up.
Look,
he should be the asshole of the year.
And by the way, is that song a whole lot worse than stuff you see on Disney
Channel?
I don't think it is.
It is.
I don't think it is. I think it's every bit as good as Bieber. I think it's every bit as good as that.
I'm saying it's
as good as the worst music out there. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, but have you heard her without the autotune?
Doesn't matter. They all got autotune. It doesn't matter.
But it's dreadful.
Okay, but I mean,
autotune sounds like C-3PO getting raped. It's terrible, right? Autotune is the worst. Yeah, I can do autotune. It's the worst, right? Autotune is hateful. It gave us people like Little John and
she represents
and
an
Little
awful
Wayne
concept. But
who's the guy with the gold teeth? It gave us
Paul Wall. T-Pain.
Right. Now there's a whole thing. Used to be every rap group had a fool.
Yeah.
Okay. Public Enemy had
right,
Flavor Flav. Right.
Right.
And, you know, there was always a goof.
The hype man or something.
The Beastie Boys had the two DJs, and then they had Mike D would come on and be kind of goofy.
No, okay.
There was always a goofball in whatever the mix was. Now, it's like they just, a guy, the free-floating goof. And then T-Pain comes in and goes, hey, Tony! And then what they did is they took a 13-year-old white woman and they put that shit on her.
Yeah, I mean,
It's the worst music I've ever heard.
It's really bad, and I'm not saying it's not, but I feel like she's sort of innocent. She kind of got a kick out of doing it, and, you know.
She could get you know she's going to get a kick? In the box. Get out of my life! All right, what's your number 7?
All right, quickly, we'll move along here. Okay, this is a group of women here, Corey. A group of women.
I'm shocked.
I know.
Shocked.
This is every woman in America. I'm kidding. Specific group of women. I don't know if this is 11 women. It's more than 11 women, but 11 play at a time, Corey. You know what I'm talking about? The U.S. Women's World Cup soccer team are the number 7 assholes. And
really?
They get to this champion. First of all, they're favored the whole way through, and somehow they squeak into the playoffs where they got to beat all these top seeds to get in, okay? So, well, you know, they go on this miraculous run. They beat all these top seeds. And then they get to the final game against Japan. They go out. They blow two leads. Two leads. You know how hard it is to blow a lead in soccer? I mean, it's not easy. It's not impossible. But to blow two leads. Blowing one lead is one thing.
Well, what's crazy about soccer is almost every game, if you get if you're up 2-0,
right,
people
over.
Go, it's over.
Right.
This is insurmountable. So, they'll never come back. And in hockey, if you're up 2-0,
it's not a big deal. Yeah. In soccer, though, I'm not sure exactly what the scores were, but they gave up two leads.
Right.
You know, and then they go to. In fact, here's what they did. They gave up a lead in regulation. Then they gave up a lead in extra time. So they took the lead in extra time. And all they have to do is hold on and kick the ball around. Just kick the ball around. They're playing Japan. They're a foot taller than these women on the Japanese team. And somehow Japanese got the power of the tsunami in them some kind of way to win. And all they have to do is pass the ball back and forth. And that's it. That's all you got to do.
You hit on it right there.
And they're in extra time with 10 minutes left, and they give up a goal. Now they're tied. They go to penalty kicks, and this Hope Solo, who's got a wingspan of 9 goddamn feet, she's a giant woman, and she can't stop a penalty. I don't know if it was that. I think that's our strikers missed the net, too. It was just a clusterfuck the whole way
terrible.
Around.
I agree with you.
Yeah, it was horrible.
You hit on something,
a horrible performance.
The Japs were atomic-powered.
I know.
What it was. They got a boost. They were like it was like the Hulk.
They were this sentimental favorite because of the tsunami.
They were hulked up from all the radiation.
The earthquake.
And they ran out there.
No, they're 3 feet tall. You and I could have beat the Japanese women in soccer.
Well, yeah.
But I honestly feel like...
No, we couldn't.
I feel like
can't run that much.
I feel like they sort of had stars in their eyes, and when they got the lead, all they were thinking about is media appearances and being famous. And you know what? Had they won, that all might have happened for them.
Well...
But instead, they sucked. They blew it.
They were media darlings for about a week and a half when they were making the run, and then they blew it.
And now, you know, Hope Solo did Dancing with Stars, but the rest of them you're never going to hear from again.
And I would give the only team that deserves a bigger asshole than them is the U.S. Men's National Team.
What did they do? Well, they didn't have a World Cup.
No, but they sucked. They were in the Gold Cup, okay, which I went to and attended and watched them beat Canada.
Right, yeah, they beat Canada
like 3-0.
Yeah,
and that was fun. They rolled through the Gold Cup. They should win everything in North America. They dropped the game mm-hmm. to Mexico on our own field,
mm-hmm.
and then the Mexicans got up there and gave the presentation in Spanish in L.A. on our home field.
That's bad
for the Gold Cup.
That's bad too. But
so they fired Bob Bradley, the coach. Okay, an American coach, who had taken them to the World Cup. By the way, they shouldn't have won the World Cup. That's last year. I know that's 2010's assholes of the year.
Well, it's one thing to not win the World Cup. It's another thing to have two leads, one in extra time, and lose.
Who did they lose to? They lost to like Malawi or some crap. They lost to some African team.
Americans?
Ghana. Who did they lose to?
The U.S. women. They lost to. Somebody knocked them out of the round. I don't know.
Well, they won their... Okay, they were in a division. They were in a group with England and won the group.
Right.
Right? England. They beat England in the group. Or they tied them and they won the group. And then they lost to some rinky-dinky African country that looked like Ronald McDonald. their jerseys.
I forget. You can look up all the details. But,
anyway. And then they go out and they fire their coach. They fired Bob Bradley, and they bring in Jurgen Klinsmann,
mm-hmm.
the star of the German World Cup teams in the early 90s,
mm-hmm.
and he sucks such a dong. So the U.S. soccer program in general, the women, they pooped in the bed.
Right.
The men, they fired a coach, brought in a coach who sucks a dong worse.
It's one thing.
We're never going to be good at soccer.
It's one thing to lose to a better team, and it's another thing to have a lead over a shittier team twice in the championship and still lose. It's like, what the fuck?
I hear you.
How do you not do it? Come on. You want to give your number seven? Are you not going to let the soccer thing
go?
No,
I'm going to let the soccer thing go. I can't.
Let it go.
Until I have so many people to pick.
Let it go. By the way, you haven't hit any of my names. You hit Ashton Kutcher was in my extras.
Okay, all right.
In my runners-up. But you haven't hit any of my names.
Number seven, the Donald.
Donald Trump.
Number seven, Donald Trump. Now, first of all, Donald is a Hall of Famer. I mean, this is, if we ever do the asshole.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
If we enshrine an asshole Hall of Fame.
Well.
Donald is first ballot, world-class Hall of Fame.
Are you not a giant fan of that Apprentice show? Don't you watch every episode?
I watched the stupid Apprentice show.
Yeah, so I'm sorry.
And you know what the thing I like least about the Apprentice is? Donald Trump.
Okay, all right.
Donald Trump.
Because he's really not in the Apprentice much except for the end. But
that's what's terrible about every show.
Yeah.
It's a two-hour show.
Mm-hmm.
The last 15 minutes is Donald Trump yapping about how great he is. He's a schnook, he's a fraud, he's a charlatan.
Yeah.
He's not worth the money he claims to be worth. He claims to be this billionaire, untouchable. No, he's got property that might total something if it was evaluated.
He doesn't have cash.
He's not liquid. He's not like Warren Buffett where he's sitting on streams of cash, right? He's not. He's a real estate mogul. He's not a financier. He's not Richard Branson.
I know what you mean. Yeah,
he's not this massive billionaire he claims to be.
He claims he's worth more than those guys because he has a brand.
Right.
I saw an interview with him recently. He says, well, they're saying I'm not worth as much, but he said they're not taking account the brand.
Yeah, it's not
that my name alone can raise money. I can open doors,
mm-hmm.
sell projects easier than these other millionaires.
Yeah. It's.
But I know why you really hate him, so why don't you get to that?
Well, he's an obnoxious yutz. He's a putz.
But on top of that.
And so he has this dumb show, and he puts his turd sons on it. They're terrible. His daughter, it's very spankable.
The daughter's nice.
Because he married a hot woman. Yeah. Spankable. Right. I like looking at Ivanka. But his turd son, Don, comes on that stupid show. Anyway, aside from the quality of The Apprentice, he decides he's going to be a political operative. He's going to move the needle in politics. He starts going on Fox. He starts going on Fox Business. He starts going on anybody that'll have him, basically, and starts talking about how Obama sucks, and then all the Republican candidates sucks.
Yeah.
And only Donald Trump, the Donald, I know. I would march in there, and I would tell China to stick it up their hoo-ha. Like, really?
Well, you know what the thing, too, with that is politics is that they'll do polls, and these guys, the pollster should be the asshole here.
Yeah.
Because they'll put him in a poll, and then he'll win the poll. You know what I mean? And then they'll be like, well, Trump's legitimate because he won a poll.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, of course. You could put Brad Pitt in the poll, and he'd beat everybody, well, too. But he's not the president, the problem, you know?
Okay, but they probably were like Rick Santorum or right. Donald Trump.
Right, exactly. You know, like...
That's a case
yeah,
where...
Yeah, that's what I mean.
No,
yeah.
Polls are stupid.
Right.
I mean, how many different leads have we had in the Republican
right.
process so far, and not one vote has been cast?
Sure.
Not one vote!
Right. I mean, Justin Bieber would outpoll mm-hmm. anybody, right. but you're not making him the president. You know, it doesn't make sense.
So Trump tickles everybody's ass with a feather, claims he's going to run for president. And by the way, he'd have the worst hair any president's had since Eisenhower. And he gets in there and he says he's going to be the president. But he doesn't want to reveal his financial records. That's the case, yeah, right? Sure. That's what Howard Stern talked about.
Stern
the governor's
governor, the same thing. Yeah.
You know, Trump doesn't want to show the books and show what's really doing there, yeah. right?
Right.
So it's all a bunch of bullshit.
It's all about him. He doesn't.
It's
you know.
About him. I don't even care about his policies. He's a yutz.
He's not looking really to help anybody. No. He doesn't have the solution.
And in a field of bozos, in a Republican field that's as bad as any field of candidates has ever been.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I mean, the Democrats had some bad years in the 80s when they yeah. were getting beat by Reagan, but they never had anything as stinky, poopy, awful as this entire field of candidates.
Yeah,
and Donald Trump makes them all look like goddamn Rhodes Scholar geniuses. Yeah. He makes Michelle Bachmann look like Margaret Thatcher. He's such a yutz. Shut it. Now his new thing, he's pushing a book, and he's out there, he's pimping a book, right?
What's in the book?
It's, you know, my cock, I measured it, and it's actually I weighed my cock and measured it, and it's the heaviest.
It's outstanding.
It's an incredible cock. You wouldn't believe it is.
It's the finest in the world.
I had MIT engineers come in here and examine my cock to discover that it is the most vascularly amazing cock. I don't care, whatever's in the book, it's a bunch of crap, but he's now going back up to get media so that he can pimp the book. He has this phony debate that he's going to host.
Ah. And then no
one,
happening.
And then no one shows up to the debate, right? They all go.
Well, no one wants to sit there.
Right,
with him.
Right. None of the candidates want to sit there with this moron. Yeah. And then he goes. Now his new trick. This is Trump's latest trick. He pulled it on MSNBC. He pulled it on Fox. He goes on wherever he gets interviewed, and goes. Now wait, you called me. That's his new shtick. That's how sad he is. Like he probably has a press agent who goes, "Hey, can you get Donald Trump on? Donald Trump wants to come on. Can you get Donald Trump on?" And he now, that his new angle is he goes, no, you called me. You wanted me on the show. He's fucking delusional. What a piece of garbage.
Yeah, I have really nothing more to add to that. I completely agree with
file
you.
File of garbage.
And, you know, I mean, I think the only reason I don't hate him as much as you did is that I never take him seriously
right.
for a second.
Right.
And so it's just another stunt. And
it's a clown show.
It doesn't, you know, that doesn't bother me because when it's him, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what bothers me more about, you know, phony candidates and just is that when it's like sort of real politicians or when it's people who you know do these things that actually you know could be elected.
I got more of them on the
list. All right, well it's coming. All right, well for my number six pick, this is actually going to be an audio. So I'm actually have an audio clip.
Oh, good
for our number six.
This show could use some audio.
So I could use something other than us. This is the number six.
I
think Corey knows where this is going. I think I played this on the show once before, but
of the voices,
I think we can just leave it right here. I don't think
set before me.
I'm jamming to it. Yeah, now you're like, we found the one guy who likes the Metallica and Lou Reed album. He's sitting right here.
A science of the heart.
And listen to this garbage. I would feel like not. Maybe I wouldn't have put this on the list if it was just my personal opinion that this sucked.
No, it's universal.
Everybody hates this. I mean, there's nobody because when I took a stand against this, I feel like I was a little bit ahead of the curve saying this is the worst piece of crap ever made. Because I think this is the single that leaked early. This wasn't even the whole album wasn't even out.
You made a bold stand.
Yeah, I kind of said I think this is going to be bad.
No, I don't think it's a particularly bold stand.
But I mean, I like some Metallica. I like some Lou Reed.
Yeah,
I don't like every Metallica and every Lou Reed. This is the worst garbage.
It's pretty lame, and I'm not a Metallica guy. I am probably
like some of it.
I'm probably the least metal guy.
Yeah,
like the Metallica albums I probably would think were the best were the ones that all the metalheads hate.
Okay,
yeah, you know what I mean, they all sit there and talk about Kill 'Em All and you know Ride the Lightning and all their early stuff, right? And the band sucks. You know, metal guys that are like, you know, it's all sucks since Cliff Burton died, you know, or what. Or, you know, Dave Mustaine was what really made Metallica great.
Sure.
You know, I hate that crap. I hate metal. I never liked metal. I was never, like, really. When I was,
you're making this so much better. Your rant over it.
I know.
Great. Yeah, it's really.
Lars Ulrich can blow me. You are shitty.
It changed. Tempo change.
Now this is better.
Yeah, because James Hetfield changed.
Right.
Enough of that. I'm
okay, but that's the thing. Like, I have a bunch of friends. You know, I had a bunch of old roommates and stuff. Mm-hmm. That Rain and Blood was the greatest album ever made by Slayer, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I hate that garbage. I really am not a metal guy.
No.
But I can at least go, okay, I get and kind of respect what Metallica mm-hmm. did. And Some Kind of Monster, the Metallica documentary about how they broke, they were, went
they
to therapy.
Fought with each other, yeah.
They went to therapy and stuff. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah,
watch
I never
that.
Saw that, but I,
it's really good.
I want to see that, yeah.
Never Even did. Though you got to sit and listen to Lars Ulrich talk about, you know, James, you don't respect me and what I do. I hate that crap. He's like a stoner Swede. It's the worst accent ever.
He's a great tennis player in his youth.
Yeah, I was like, you know, I played tennis and I got a lot of pussy that way. Anyway, now he's starting to sound like Native American. I don't know what I'm doing.
All right.
But anyway, good. Screw them. Screw. And Lou Reed, I love Berlin.
Sure.
I love, Transformer, I love the first two Velvet Underground mm-hmm. records. Kansas City can fuck off, but
okay.
No, I do like White Light, White Heat, and not so much. But
okay.
I do like the you know Velvet Underground and Nico and the Velvet Underground, great. But no, stop, Lou.
It didn't work, and it just
stop.
They looked foolish for doing it.
Yeah.
It just seemed like something that you know you would hear. You know, if you went to an open mic at some college town. And a guy brought up his, and some metal guys went up, and a guy read poetry over it. People might think it was cool, but when you're sort of these legendary artists, yeah, you don't need to be doing this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a waste of everyone's time.
It's awful.
Terrible. All right, give me a number six.
Oh, boy, number six. This is getting to be tough now.
I'm going to straighten out.
Got to make choices.
Sort out your list there, boy.
Got to make choices.
America. And parts of Canada are waiting.
I'm sorry. I got so many assholes. Let's go with Charlie Sheen, everybody.
Charlie Sheen. Well, again.
Come on. Is that,
You know, I didn't put him on the list, and maybe it's because I met Charlie this year, and, you know, I don't
You're
wanna...
ready to start winning?
No,
You're going to roll with Charlie?
I didn't think much more of Charlie in person than I ever thought of him. You know, I thought he was a drug addict. Loser in the media, and then when I met him, I kind of felt the same way. But not that he was a dick to me, but yeah, we all know why Charlie's on this list. I mean, come on,
please spare me.
I mean,
come on, the
drugs, the
thing, and the whores, and the stuff.
The way he pretty much held up the top-rated show on television.
Mm-hmm. Now, look, yeah. I think Charlie's an asshole for being on that show.
Oh, okay, yeah, no, I agree. That's a
terrible
show.
That show is wretched.
Well, we're talking about the best and worst in television, and believe me, that's on the worst list.
That show is...
With and without him, it's bad.
That show, okay, as much as I hate the Family Feud for going, oh, Lord, she said in the bedroom, where they act like everything's an outrage. It's all an outrage. It's all a shot. Or Conan goes, oh, Kristen Stewart said something about her vagina. Oh,
yeah.
I hate that faux outrage goof because
That
gets a laugh every time.
Exactly.
It's a stupid giggle because people are children.
Family Feud, they write the questions, so the answer is something dirty.
Right.
And then when someone says the answer, they're the worst people in the world.
What's hairy and smells like fish? And it's like they have these questions.
Exactly, yeah.
And they, it's the simplest thing. And they're like, it's an otter. Okay. But
name me something you eat at night. And You know? And then somebody says everyone fades.
You have a pass gas in an elevator. It's just the worst shit. But this is like the flip side of it where it's nothing but dirty talk and poo-poo and it's all...
Yeah, the show is really bad.
Really leering, cheesy sex joke. It's like... That show is slimy. And it's America's favorite show.
Yeah, I don't get
Remember
why
when people used to think Three's Company was kind of scandalous.
Married with Children was the worst thing in
We're
television.
Old. I just, by the way, I might as well have just put on an AARP badge when I sat here and talked about the controversy over Three's Company.
Yeah.
But if I could explain to the Joseph Zoo, you young prick, or any of the young people that are listening to this show, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
The 20-year-olds, you like to get your name checked. Don't name, go take a picture of your dick. Look, with your photography.
I love
that kid.
Get
anyway,
back to Charlie.
What I'm saying is,
this show.
That show is for old people to go, oh, my God, they said that? And it's sleazy. It makes you, it feels dirty. It's like one of those Carry On movies from, like, the 70s. And, you know what I mean? It's all, like, jokes about titties.
It's
there's something grimy about it, and it's terrible. And
it's Charlie, how much double entendre can we do without being... Yeah, it's just, it's no, it's not...
So Charlie starts a war with Chuck Lorre, who is the producer of that garbage. And the producer of Mike and Molly, which is another garbage show.
I've never seen that show.
I know, and Billy Gardell's a nice guy and a comic.
I know Billy a little bit, but
And good for him. I'm glad that a comic got
too.
Success.
Sure.
But, please, you look like an asshole compared to one of the biggest assholes. When Chuck Lorre looks like the good guy sometimes.
Yeah,
somehow.
Yeah.
Charlie lost his mind.
People liked him for standing up to the suits.
But then it was clear that he was coked out of his fucking skull.
Right, yeah.
Right?
He didn't really have a leg to stand on because they were really asking him to go do an easy job for tons and tons of money.
Right.
And he was like, no, I'm too busy doing
but
cocaine.
But the truth of the matter is that Charlie lost his mind. And I'm not Dr. Drew, but if someone can prove to me, I'm more likely to believe Oswald acted alone than I am to believe that Charlie Sheen was not on drugs during that psychotic episode, right?
Absolutely.
He was tweaked out on something. Painkillers, coke, barbiturates, meth, whatever the hell he was doing. Mm-hmm. He's like, I don't drink. This is Sober Valley Lodge. This is winning. This is, you know, right? That's, now, great. Now, granted, he was banging a world-class porn star.
Yeah.
Brie Olsen, who, by the way, won... Slut of the Year award, or won like the world's biggest slut on Howard Stern for telling a story about how she would, like, after the porn shoot, she'd fuck the janitor. Right? She'd be like, she'd let
I'm
everybody
not familiar with that show,
no,
but
she'd be like, I'd have a hard day of getting fucked at the office, and then I'd be like, hey, sound guy, you want to put it in me? And then the janitor, I'd fuck him too. Like, so, but he did get that, and that's great, and he got her to live on that, you know, settle down in that mansion with some dumb bimbo.
Yeah, he's
that she didn't like. But just the nuttiest, crazy. And then
his tour was awful, too. He comes
to Detroit, and he does the stink bomb of incredible awfulness, or whatever it was. What was that called? The My Laser Torpedo of
Unfunny
Bullshit.
My Violent Torpedo of Death.
And so on top of making an ass of himself on every media venue possible, of inspiring douchebags, which... The guys who were like, yeah, Charlie, you go get him. Woo, tiger blood.
Yeah.
Those are the same knuckleheaded morons that it's like 25 below and they're out at an Ohio State game with their shirt off. These kind of dipshits. He inspired a whole legion of douchebags. But the worst offense that Charlie Sheen performed, pretending to be a stand-up comic.
Yeah, that was bad.
That is the worst example of a celebrity attempting to do comedy with no material, no practice. He didn't go to a fucking open mic.
Yeah,
he didn't even go to an open mic for 2 weeks and, like, you know, show up at the improv and the Laugh Factory or break in some material. He walked into a fucking sold-out theater of 3,000 people and took a dump on
stage. Well, that's the thing. You know, Conan, and when I was watching Conan's documentary, in the commentary, he's like, you know, Charlie Sheen kind of ripped us off by doing his tour.
It's true.
And it's kind of like, yeah, he did, but he also realized how difficult it was to pull something like that off, you know. Yeah, because he did, he was trying to, you know, I guess he thought, you know, it was like that show where you just show up on a soundstage and they turn on the laughter sign and the applause sign and everyone would go crazy and he realized it wasn't, you know.
And he'd made comedy look bad.
Yeah.
He made stand-up look bad. He made himself look bad.
Right.
He's a coked out moron. Mm-hmm. He made Emilio look like the reasonable one.
Right.
It's terrible.
He didn't tell my jokes I wrote for him at the Gathering of the Juggalos.
You wrote jokes
I
for
wrote
him.
Jokes. They were quality.
I got another guy who I wrote jokes for and gave him jokes for television and he didn't read them.
Right, yeah, that was about Piers Morgan too, so he made it in here. All right, well, Charlie Sheen, I think anyone can agree, and I think I have Charlie... You know, just in my extras.
He's got to be on your list.
I mean, he's on my list of extras. I didn't put him in the top because I sort of feel like he was exposed for what he is.
Yeah.
And maybe some of these other people aren't. All right, let me give you my number five. I think we're up to halfway done. This is a guy named Sean Weimer.
Okay.
Do you know who Sean Weimer is?
Now, who's Sean Weimer?
Sean Weimer is a man, I don't know if he lives in this, but he was arrested in Brownstown Township, Michigan.
Oh, this gentleman.
This is a guy who was so drunk, he let his nine-year-old daughter drive him around in a van while he was drunk. And then he went into a gas station and bragged to the clerk about it. Was all caught on videotape. The guy was arrested. I'm not sure exactly what his punishment was. I know he's pleaded guilty to the charges, so he's trying to get a less of a sentence. I have an article, I think, bookmarked recently on him, just because I needed to get all the details. But, you know, to get drunk and, like, I guess he's had so many DUIs in the past he couldn't drive, so he taught his nine-year-old daughter to drive the van around. And I mean, need I say anything else? I mean, what, if you're not familiar with the story, Google him. And my computer's not working. Is your internet working?
Yeah, it's working. He was doing the responsible thing. He was too drunk to drive, so he let his daughter drive.
But I think they went to the. I think she drove him to the store to get beer. Wasn't that it, too?
Yes.
Yeah, that was that's the best.
Now granted, they were up in Brownstown Township, which is in the thumb.
No, Brownstown Township is down river.
Oh, it's down river.
It's down by Flat Rock. Yeah, it's down by Flat Rock.
I'm sorry, I got my.
Maybe that makes sense now.
I got
down
my
river.
Spots mixed up. Well, they both
down
suck.
River is full of those.
The thumb or down river, they both suck. Let's be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, this guy's a complete. I mean, America was outraged at the story, and I hope people haven't forgotten about it. But yeah, so
all right, what are we up to? Number five.
You're giving me number five.
Boy,
number
this is tough.
Let me see if I can get this guy's article.
We'll
find out what happened to this
number guy. Five, Joel. I got so many names.
You have five
to
left,
at.
Man. Five right. left.
I'm gonna go with. This is a pretty obvious one.
They drove for 45 minutes.
I'm going to go. We're getting into the real obvious ones now.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to go with the Kardashian Empire.
Okay, there you go.
I believe they fought the Federation on Star Trek.
The Kardashian Empire.
The Kardashian Empire. I mean, come on. I mean, this the whole thing. You could go. You could pick one.
Yeah.
You could pick Kim.
Yeah.
You could pick that Yeti-faced Chloe.
You could.
You could pick that yappy, annoying slut, Courtney.
Yeah.
You could pick the mom.
Sure.
You could pick Bruce Jenner's hogtied gay ass.
Well, you know, today it was on TMZ that they were accused of using child labor to create their clothing line.
Oh, much like Kathy Lee?
Yeah.
Great. So. Wonderful. Delightful.
Anyway, yeah. It's funny because I have Kim.
Chris Humphreys. Everybody involved.
Yeah, I get it.
The one who knocked up Courtney and put a baby in her, whatever that douchebag is.
Yeah.
Kendall Jenner. The whole family. Assholes.
I had Kim at number two, specifically about that wedding.
Yeah.
That sham wedding.
Yeah.
With the big
I'm sorry to steal your thunder.
Special. That's fine. I mean, I figured they'd show up, but I really was outraged by that because I've been outraged by them for years, but finally they did something that actually outraged everybody else. Like, I've been outraged by just having that show on the air.
Okay, their claim to fame is their dad was O.J.'s attorney.
Yeah.
He was on that dream team.
No, worse than that.
Yeah.
His dad took O.J.'s golf clubs. When O.J. got off the plane, the golf clubs were never found. People think that the murder weapon was in the golf clubs.
Oh, he was the bad guy.
Yeah, they think he actually disposed of evidence that cleared O.J. And I watched an O.J. documentary the other night on Netflix, and when they're showing the reading of the verdict of O.J. getting freed, and Johnny Cochran's all happy and he's patting O.J. on the back, you can see Mr. Kardashian like with his mouth hanging open like,
he got
holy
off?
Fucking shit, they let this guy go. It's really great because you just go like, oh, he must have really felt bad. And, of course, he died young, too, not unlike Johnny Cochran.
Yeah.
Because karma caught up to him.
That's true. F. Lee Bailey, did he croak, too?
F. Lee Bailey, I don't know what happened to him. I think he's still alive.
Is Dershowitz the only...
But F. Lee Bailey got disbarred, I think, because he was doing some shenanigans.
Is Dershowitz the only one that's still active from
Barry Sheck.
Oh, Barry Sheck, I forgot.
You know, yeah.
I forgot about Barry Sheck.
Barry Sheck.
That O.J. thing was the worst.
The O.J. attorneys would be the assholes if you were doing the 1995 list.
Marcia Clark. I mean, everybody. That whole thing.
Judge Ito.
It bred a whole legion of talking. Nancy Grace.
Oh, yeah. All those guys. Oh,
that
yeah.
I mean, O.J. Hall of Fame asshole because of not
Harvey
only.
Harvey Levin got famous off
sure,
of that.
Not that. That yeah. little fucking. That nudnik.
Yeah.
That little schmuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. The whole Kardashian empire. I mean,
agree.
Come on.
Yeah,
the whole thing from top to bottom. First of all, they're whoring out 12-year-olds.
Yeah.
Because the younger sisters, the Jenner daughters and the whatever their half-sisters or whatever, They're out there in bikinis whoring it up, right? They got.
Well, yeah, and the thing, too, that Kim gave an interview about her wedding, and she's like, you know, I didn't get married just to be on, you know, I didn't do it just to be on television. It's like, but everything you do is on television.
Can you pull up audio of her from the Super Bowl?
Who?
Kim.
What did she do at the Super Bowl?
With the Reggie, when she was dating Reggie, with Reggie Bush, she claimed that she won the Super Bowl, that it was us as a team. And that's when Reggie Bush told her to piss up a rope. I mean, it's the...
I'll see if
you can play a clip. It's amazing.
Oh, get that. Kim Kardashian, no, there's a Super Bowl commercial. Kim Kardashian wins the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Could that possibly be it?
That is.
It's 7 minutes long.
Hello, Internet. I need a pajama.
That's the problem with the Internet.
I won!
Some guy mad about it.
Why can't that happen? I don't know what that is. But the real winner of the commercials last night was a tie between Kim Kardashian's ass in the Skechers commercial and America for giving us Kim Kardashian.
But I agree, that is an asshole thing to do. Maybe this is it here. We talked to
Kim Kardashian. Stunning. You guys are looking amazing.
I don't know. I can't.
This was on the field.
Oh, she's on the field.
This was like after the Super Bowl. Here it is. Let me see if I can get this.
How do I find it? What do I?
Kim Kardashian crashes Reggie Bush's Super Bowl interview.
Well, let me. Is it on YouTube?
Yeah, on YouTube. Go Kim Kardashian crash Reggie Bush.
All
right. Let me pull this up. Says it's like. It's like the, you know, the guys are sitting there. Somebody's got their little boo. They got their little daughter on their lap. And this slut, this cow, this moo cow comes
every
in.
Every year.
Yeah, exactly.
Out of the mouths of babes.
So see,
and
like,
hold on a minute. I think we got ourselves a little guest right here. Uh-oh. Come on up here, Kim. This is
Kim
fantastic. Come on in here, Kim.
Terminal NFL Network. Yeah.
Way to keep
this
up
is after
with
the
Reggie Bush right here.
Right.
Come on.
Listen,
it's
been
a public display of affection here.
Bigger than the players.
Hi, Kim. How are you?
I'm just over the moon right now. I'm so proud of the guys.
Isn't that fantastic?
It is fantastic. We're having a great time, and this is what we talked about for the last 2 weeks, man. We talked about winning Super Bowl.
You've been talking about your entire life.
My entire life. But we talked about a lot more in the last 2 weeks.
Yes.
So. You know, we're enjoying it.
So what were you guys talking about? About this very moment? About how it was, were you visualizing how it was going to happen? What were you guys talking about?
I think just getting focused and thinking of, you know, what we'll do in this moment.
Of Mike Tyson and Robin
Gibbons. There's a lot of preparation that comes behind this.
Yeah.
And it's here, and I cannot believe you guys won the Super Bowl.
And it's not just on the field. You know, a lot of preparation that goes off the field. And she's done number of a great job at helping me just kind of simplify everything to get to this point. And, you know, it can
taking
be a whirlwind.
Taking time off, hanging out there more. It's all about prioritizing and just making sure that his mind's in the right place.
I get your point.
This is exactly what she did. And then so she goes out and she and the whole publishing empire, all the press agents, all the publicists, all the flacks, they got a marketing strategy. And the plan is for Kim to find an athlete.
Yeah, I guess.
Because Chloe got Lamar Odom.
Lamar Odom, who's on the Lakers.
No, he's not.
He was.
Yeah.
He's on the Mavs now.
Enjoy Texas now.
Is he on the Mavs or is he on the Spurs? He's on the Mavs.
He just got traded.
He's on the Mavs, I think, now.
Well, enjoy.
And the Mavs just won the title, but he missed out on that.
No one was upset about that, by the way. Everybody was upset that the Lakers were going to get better.
Yeah.
And then Lamar Odom goes to the champion team, and they're like, who cares? Anyway, but the whole – so she got Lamar Odom. So Kim's like, I got to get me an athlete.
Just idiots.
That's the thing. And it's like they're gonna run. It is.
Well, she dated Miles Austin of the Cowboys for a while. Too,
she's a cack chaser. She's a gold digging cack chaser, right? They're all about because let's be honest,
they need to just cancel that show and they would go away.
Kill it now.
Because even if they cancel from E, what would happen with them is they get picked up by some lesser rated station. Like, you know, Paris Hilton had a reality show.
They're
going to
end up on True TV.
That was on Oxygen, and
and
no one cared about Paris anymore.
Right.
And that's what's going to happen to them, and there'll be some other bitch that will hate.
I could say that the Jersey Shore is a technically worse show, and it's worse for America.
It's more entertaining than the Kardashian show.
Making those goons stars is terrible. But this whole fan, that show, have you ever watched the Kardashian show?
I have. And
they run Bruce Jenner. Okay, Bruce Jenner, the only one in the family who accomplished something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the one successful man.
The one in the entire empire, that entire organization who's done, and it's an organization, it's not a family, it's a fucking merchandising outfit.
Yeah.
the one guy who's done something. Mm-hmm. He was a decathlete. He won a gold medal.
76.
In 10 different events. Mm-hmm. That's the hardest thing to do in sports, is win the decathlon.
Greatest athlete in the world.
Considered one of the great athletes of the 20th century. They run his ass like a little bitch. You would think he was on cell block H and he was a celly for fucking Big Leroy. The way they run his punk ass, Bruce do this, Bruce do that. They were like, they put his track shoes on and make him fucking run hurdles to get stuff for these over-entitled fucking, what are they? They're Lebanese. I don't know what the hell they are.
Armenian. Maybe. I think they're
fucking
Armenian.
This caramel-colored bitches. They make them run out, these mocha latte hoes.
Here's the thing.
They're awful.
All right. The thing with the Kardashians, this is where it differs from Jersey Shore, I think, on some level. Almost the entire audience, I would guess, for like a Kardashian show is women.
Yeah.
It's 99% women. And because it's just, it's all them whining about like their looks, and they're going on photo shoots. And it's sort of this fantasy life that I think a lot of women would like to have. I don't think it's probably not as great as they're making it out to be, obviously. But you know, I mean, it's, they're fabulous. They have all the newest clothes. They're dating the hottest guys. They got the nicest cars. They're going to the hottest parties. They're doing all this. That's the appeal of the Kardashians. They live a lifestyle that women want to emulate. You know, they want to have the babies. They want to have this fabulous dream wedding. And I think for Jersey Shore, I think it's a little bit of, people watch it for the comedy, I think.
Right.
I think people watch that to see, like, oh, my God, what are they going to do next? It's outrageous. The Kardashians, I would almost respect them more if they were outrageous. But they're not even.
No.
They're not like the Osbournes where they're bickering with each other and then doing stuff like that. That's just all about of, like,
she made a sex. I
don't know if
they fake having
Lamar
fights.
Is in love with me anymore. I'm afraid that this photo shoot's not going to go well tomorrow.
Kim, it's okay because we're strong as a family.
Yeah, it's just, it's not even like
they pretend to fight with each other, and then it's a three way. So at one, you know, Courtney and Chloe will be tight, and then Kim will be on the outs, and Courtney will be tight.
It's so bad. And then the thing is that, you know, when the Kardashian show goes off, then they go to New York, and there's two of them living in New York, and that's the show. And then they go here, and that's the show. And
it makes the Hills look like Shakespeare. It's awful.
It's so bad.
Kim Kardashian made an unsexy sex tape.
Yeah, I never really saw the full.
It's terrible.
I've never seen the full sex tape. Yeah. I'll be honest.
As interracial porn goes, it's lame.
I'm not into Kim anyway, I don't think. I know there's some guys who think she's the hottest thing.
Friend of ours, Roger, who used to be in the fantasy football league, likes that. I don't get it.
Yeah,
she made a sex tape you can't beat off to. I mean, the only thing worse is the
horrible asshole of the year right
Tanya
there.
Harding.
That one's better?
Now, butthole's actually nice, and I would, if we were actually giving a literal asshole of the year. All right,
let's move to number four. I think we've said
it. You know that thing is waxed and bleached and lasered beyond, it's a Barbie asshole at this point. That thing, you could serve a fucking
Here's
sushi
buffet. Here's my number four asshole of the year. We've said enough about the Kardashians for one show.
All right, good.
Maybe that'll be it for a year. We won't talk about them.
Never again.
That's enough of them. Mm-hmm. All right, she was my number two. That's actually some point you're going to have to get ahead of me here. But anyway, for now, I'm going to give my number four. Terry Thompson. Do you know who Terry Thompson
who's
is?
Who's Terry Thompson?
Terry Thompson is a man in Zanesville, Ohio, who owned an and he decided goodbye, cruel world. Mm-hmm. But before I kill myself, and actually rather than that, let me open up the animal cages, let out dozens of lions, tigers, bears, dangerous cheetahs, monkeys, orangutans. Yeah. Then I'll lay down, shoot myself in the head, and put raw meat around me so the animals will eat my corpse too. And of course, the police went out and killed all but six of the animals.
Yeah.
And this whole, the guy, I mean, look, if you want to kill yourself, I'm not going to call you an asshole. But you literally.
No, don't let a snake out.
You literally put the lives of countless people. Now, maybe his feeling was, I want these animals to be free, because his thought may have been this. What
thought?
And just in some, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe he's thinking that when he's dead, that people will come in and they will take these animals somewhere and they will mistreat them. they will end up somewhere where they don't get the care from him. Because people that have a lot of animals are crazy like that. They feel like they're the only ones that can love their kitty cat or whatever. Okay, so they're nutty in that way. So maybe what he was thinking is, you know, I'll let these lions and tigers live in the Great Plains of Zanesville, Ohio for a while.
Right. Well,
you know,
as we all know,
live in the suburbs of Akron, because that's where lions and tigers thrive.
As we all know, North Central Ohio is a natural habitat for a lion. That's where they belong.
So this guy, apparently he broke up with his wife and was distraught. Or I don't know what the deal was. You can't make any excuses. Keep the animals in their goddamn cages. Right. Because they ended up getting shot by the cops anyway.
Well, and that's the problem, was that it was like nightfall, and the cops couldn't even trank them.
Yeah.
Like a couple leopards and something else were not killed.
And they shot them.
Like, I think, what, six of the 30 animals
were... There's six animals that are in the Columbus Zoo now.
That were not killed.
Yeah, that were.
But what they ended up having to kill tigers. Tigers are rare.
Rare, yeah.
There aren't...
Bengal tigers.
They're a protected resource. What a douche.
I mean, come on.
Now, at one point, my favorite part of that story was that there was a report that there was a monkey and a wolf loose.
I thought
those were two of the stragglers, and I had
a lion ate a monkey was part
right.
of it too. Yeah,
I had a brief dream that the monkey and the wolf were working together.
The
wolf, the monkey was riding the wolf.
Yeah,
and it was they were teaming up.
Yeah,
I had a dream, but no, what a yutz.
That is.
I'll give you that one. That guy is a yutz.
That's all the year. I mean, come on.
My God, Amy
Terry Thompson. That was the guy.
Amy chimed in with whoever is responsible for the Journey comeback, and that is
they've been around.
I know, state fairs
for 20 years.
She wanted to blame.
She don't know nothing.
No, she wanted to blame the guy, the music guy at Joe Louis, for playing that song. She got a point, but that's been going on for a while.
What do we mean, the guy like during Red Wing games?
Yeah, they play that. You know, just a city boy.
Oh, they've been playing that forever.
Yeah.
All right, so that Terry Thompson number four. Give us your number four, Corey.
Number four. It's so hard to pick. All right, again, another guy who got caught. Doing it, Anthony Weiner, for fuck's sake.
You know what? I forgot about Anthony Weiner. I think I forgot about Anthony Weiner.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
And look, I liked Anthony Weiner as a politician.
Sure.
I actually, as a Democrat, liked him because he was very aggressive and very smart, and he argued sometimes maybe a little too hard. He and Alan Grayson Alan Grayson got bumped and is running again in Florida. They were like the loudest sort of far-left Democrats. But I liked his scrap. I liked his fight. I thought he made a lot of good points. Mm-hmm. He was good on talk shows. Weiner would come on and be like an attack dog, you know, and you know what I mean? And then those shows where they yell at each other. He was pretty good. But this moron puts a picture.
And that's why he's the ad. Yeah.
I operate from the assumption, much like with Arnold Schwarzenegger, okay? I operate on the assumption, knowing full well that I am a chubby, penniless comedian, and I would put my dick in anything I could if I didn't have a moral center. If I was successful, Keenan this week Stern's off, but he's running SNL. It's like all interviews with people who are on SNL.
The cast of SNL.
Right. It's SNL on Stern Week.
Sure.
So they had Keenan Thompson interview.
Okay.
And he said when he did Fat Albert, Bill Cosby said, "So this is your first movie, your big movie that you're doing." And he was like, "Well, I did Good Burger, but that's for kids. And this will be big. And it's Fat Albert. You know what you got to do, son? Get two dicks. Because the women will be on you and you got to get two dicks."
Yeah, Bill. By the way.
Right.
Let me go into time machine and go back to when Cosby was the asshole of the year.
Okay, okay, again, powerful man.
Yeah.
All right? With the possible exception of Reagan, because by the time he got powerful, he was too old.
Yeah, he was.
His prostate looked like a raisinette. But you go back in history, right? Powerful guys.
Of course. Seen the prostate. And
I did the autopsy. No, I'm just saying, powerful men like tail.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Gandhi.
Well,
Gandhi got pussy.
Even if you don't when it's thrown at you,
right.
You
sure.
might jump once in a while, even if you're not looking for it.
No.
It's out there.
Two dicks. Cosby's right. Dicks, it's coming at you, right?
You're not even looking for
it. Martin Luther King, considered by everybody to be one of the greatest human beings that ever lived, not everybody. There's still people in the South.
Sure.
I would, that coon come by my house, I would lynch.
Right.
But, you know, I would say this. Martin Luther King liked to bang some bros.
Absolutely. He had some girlfriends.
Elvis. Yeah. Every
guy. I mean,
everybody up to Mary Lou Henner. You could stack them. You could stack Elvis's pussy up like the size. It would probably go halfway up the Empire State Building, all the pussy he got.
Yeah.
Right? If you're a big, important, and powerful, famous person.
That's what you do.
Billy Graham is probably rolling in pussy.
Probably.
But if you're, for the love of Christ, if you're in the media.
Yeah.
And Anthony Weiner, this is what makes this story the worst. He was a very active congressman. He wasn't just like, there's congressmen who get elected you'll never hear of, right? Mm-hmm. They got an office in D.C. They sit there all day, and they have lobbyists come in and go, hey, we'd sure like you to support our beef jerky. And you never hear from them again, and mm-hmm. they don't make a ruffle. You know, this guy was on the news all the time.
Yeah.
He was a camera whore. He liked to get on. And he goes on Twitter, and he puts his cack on the Twitter.
Yeah, he put it on Twitter, which is just, he's the dumbest guy that we've mentioned, I think, in all of this.
Well, in that he's a smart guy.
Yeah, but he did the dumbest thing. He's the dumbest act of the year.
And you know what, though? Okay, the fucking lunatic with the animals in Ohio, probably not a genius.
No, but at least he had...
Anthony Weiner was a lawyer and a congressman and is a brilliant guy.
Right.
Who thought with his cock
and got blown out, and
it was
at least
awful.
Figure out how Twitter works before you do that. You know, at least figure it out.
Okay, my personal rule is, don't send that shit even privately.
Right.
If you're
a congressman, don't. Yeah, sure.
If you're someone notable, no. Even if you're me,
yeah,
I'm not sending anybody a picture of my dick.
Yeah. Okay.
One, because I have a girlfriend, but two, because you don't know where that's gonna go.
Right. Eventually,
right?
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, girls, please send me all the nude pictures you can.
Right, yeah.
And call 610-552-0746.
Yeah.
Leave dirty messages.
Absolutely.
You can send to
email at Corey and Joel Radio.
Email at Corey and Joel Radio. I'll even give out my personal email if you want to send them. If there are girls listening to the show and want to say, and listen, I'm saying to you, and Joel will back me up.
Huh?
We're smart guys.
Sure.
We know that your titties belong for our eyes only, okay? That's a personal gift.
Yes. Titties. How many titty pictures have I shared with you in my lifetime? Zero. Zero.
Okay.
Zero.
Juggalo pictures don't count because that's a public event.
Well, if that's, yeah, but
is
that's
that,
not
is
even.
Is what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm not. Right, I don't even take a lot of them.
Those you
some
have.
Other guy takes.
In fairness, though, you've shown me titty pictures, but those are girls
okay,
taking
but
them
that's
off
not, yeah,
in
that,
front of people.
That's not a thing where somebody sent them to me in private.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Twitter. He put it on Twitter.
Yeah, he put it on Twitter.
And even if he took it down, but it doesn't matter.
It's still out
there. When Kat Schwartz put up some pictures? Some fucking genius went out and figured out how to manipulate the Photoshop.
Yeah, she...
She cropped them, and then he found the original
she
size.
She cropped, and it was... File, it was
right?
It was like the preview image in Photoshop was mm-hmm. still full-sized, I guess, even though she had cut out. Yeah, it's... Well, you know what? Here's the thing. And there's a guy we know on Facebook, and this isn't anything bad, but like... He'll write private messages, like, on his wall.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and it's like he just doesn't understand, I don't think, how Facebook works.
Mm-hmm.
And he just, like, you'll see a message from this guy. Hey, bro, how you been, man? What's going on? Thanks for... And it's like a whole, like, message.
There's a function where you send a personal
message.
Yeah,
and I don't think... And I know some people do write on the wall just because they want to write on the wall to add to somebody.
No, writing on the wall is like if you're having a conversation about something.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
and someone else, you want someone else to jump in. But
right.
This guy is just literally like writing on the wall. So it's in your feed, and you're like,
no.
I feel bad for this guy. I want to pull this guy aside and look.
I don't post
dude,
on Joel's wall. What time are we going to do? 3:30?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly.
We're going to have ribs.
It's something
what are
like
we,
that.
You know, what are we doing?
And this guy's kind of older and out of touch a little bit, and so you just go... Yeah, this guy doesn't know how it works.
Well,
and Weiner didn't know how Twitter worked.
No, but
at that
I think
point.
He knew exactly how Twitter worked.
Well, he hit the wrong button or something.
But he was in a boner frenzy.
No, because what he did is he added somebody. Like, he put their at symbol at the front and then assumed it made it private, I think is what he did.
Well, there's a Twitter function.
Called a private message.
A private message.
Yeah, right.
And if this guy was...
But I think he assumed it
But he
wasn't.
Was allegedly sending his wang to multiple women.
Right.
He was sending emails to multiple women.
Yeah.
And he had a system in place mm-hmm. to send the naked pictures and to send the dirty talk to women that was not getting out. And then he got a boner frenzy.
Right.
He was in a horned... He was beaten off.
Right, but I'm saying
he got screwed up.
He didn't mean to send
I'm
it.
I'm just
it,
saying, you can never make a mistake in this
yeah,
modern
well,
world.
That's why you don't
so,
do it.
Anthony Weiner, you blew it.
I remember there was also... I saw Twitter once in my personal life. There was a guy on Twitter who said... like, I just picked up a fresh eighth if you want to come by. You know, and it was like a weed thing, and a guy put it,
okay,
in,
they should
put
shut,
it in his public feed.
They should,
you know,
shut Twitter down.
Well,
how many athletes get busted?
Oh,
doing,
yeah, well,
stuff,
for saying dumb stuff.
And
yeah,
they tweet shit during, yeah, a game.
There's a lot of dumb stuff.
And they
stuff,
tweet,
yeah,
shit on the plane, and they tweet strategy that their team's going to play.
Right.
And they tweet what they think of the league, and they tweet what, yeah, they think of the officials.
Twitter idiocy collectively would be one of the dumbest things.
Or Ashton Kutcher gets on and says, how do, sure, you fire Joe Paterno? Twitter. All right, go ahead.
Twitter's back. All right, number three, you mentioned Joe Paterno already. This is how I handled the Penn State situation when it comes to assholes of the year. Mm-hmm. This is what I wrote down. All of Penn State. And when I say all of Penn State, I literally mean, yeah, everybody at Penn State. And I'm talking about the players, mm-hmm, the coaches, the administration, the police, the fans, the students.
Yeah.
The supporters, the boosters, the alumni, you're all idiots. How do you, on any, okay, I mean, Jerry Sandusky bangs a kid. The coach sees it. He doesn't, he claims to report it to somebody, but that guy says, well, I'm assuming this guy's taking care of it. Oh, I called the cops. I thought the cops had it. The cops say, well, the administration was supposed to do it. They didn't do it. Joe Paterno says, I reported it to this guy, or I didn't know nothing about it. Then the fans are like, how can you fire Joe Paterno? We got to support him even though he did bad shit. They're overturning cars. You can't single out anybody for being an asshole. And I mean, they're all, I mean, I'm saying, there's nobody that did the right thing. Every step of the way, everybody did the wrong thing.
Jerry,
at Penn State.
Jerry Sandusky's attorney?
I mean, it's
what a monkey that guy is.
You can't. I mean, and now Jerry Sandusky's saying he was teaching the kids how to shower. Like, what? Where does it end? I mean, is there any? I mean,
yeah. How
point,
do you? How do you
at
shower?
What point?
Joel?
At what point? Did nobody in that? And again, and you know, last year I put Boise State on the assholes of the year, and that was just because they have a blue field and they bitch about how they're not in the BCS. Okay, this is just like that same mentality, mm-hmm, taken, you know, 10 times that, but also moving into the real world. Of this, everybody protect, you know, in the NFL, they say, you know, protect the shield. And this is like, protect Penn State, protect the Nittany Lions, because they're so precious to people. Well, you know what? College ain't that goddamn precious. Get over yourselves. Mm-hmm. Get rid of football. College football. Goodbye. We don't need it anymore. It affects nobody. You can get rid of college football tomorrow. Wow. No one will care. I mean, people will care, but we'll soon get over it.
It's a training ground for the NFL. But
it's fine. You have amateur, have you know, amateur football, not amateur football, but double A, whatever, minor league football, have that. Mm-hmm. But to have this, but you set up an institution. That's the problem with the Penn State thing. It's not just that, like, some guy bangs some kids, because that happens in other things, but it's the institution. It's the same way the Catholic Church, and they covered up, and they moved people around, wouldn't fire anybody, and it's just like, what the hell?
Well,
everybody protects everybody
it's
else.
It's a problem of proportionality. The football program at Penn State is probably the biggest revenue generator.
It is.
I mean, obviously, not just in that it brings in money in and of itself, which it does,
yeah,
but that it brings kids to the school.
Yeah, it makes people want to go to the school
kids
with the best football team.
Kids that aren't even going to play there.
Whoever's got the best football team, you
kids who
go
are
there.
Just going there to get a degree, yeah, in business or journalism or whatever crap,
mm-hmm,
they go to Penn State because it's Penn State.
Puts their name in the paper.
Or Michigan,
yeah,
or Ohio State, yeah, or whatever the schools,
right,
are. It draws in, mm-hmm, people. Not based, even, I don't even know what Penn State, I think their educational record is pretty good.
Fine, yeah. I think
they're
it's
not,
a good school.
They're
I
not Stanford. They're not, you know, Harvard or something.
But they're state college. And they're state
they're
college.
Probably fine. They're better than Ohio State because that's a fucking, their academic record is garbage. But it builds prestige for the institution. It builds the college and all the money that comes in from the TV contracts. But you're right. The whole thing. You can't pick out a guy. I mean, obviously, you can pick out Jerry Sandusky.
You can, but you can't stop with him. He's not the only guy that did something wrong in
right.
this.
He is the guy that's actually in there.
That's why I couldn't pick a guy out.
Buggering little boys.
Yeah, and
that's
horrible.
The gates of hell are opening wide to accept him. I don't even believe in God, but I believe that Jerry Sandusky's going to hell.
They'll create a hell.
Yeah.
And they'll throw him
no,
in.
No, this is a guy that if they prove that he did it, bring out the fire ants and the lemon juice,
mm-hmm,
and let's just paper cut his dick and let the fire ants go at it. I mean, there's no amount of torture
right.
for this asshole that's not worthwhile. But you're right. His attorney lets him talk, lets him give that stupid interview to Bob Costas where he talks about, I'm learning how, I'm teaching him how to, I do like young people. I like their energy. Don't let him talk!
Well, remember when
this
broke, wasn't I said Jerry Sandusky's defense was that he only got to second base with the kids?
That
was pretty much what it was. I mean,
That's like if you get busted for dealing coke and you're like, no, I was dealing weed.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the stupidest, it's the dumbest thing.
But I mean, if somebody had done the right thing at Penn State,
no,
it could have.
And then nobody during the whole, up the whole chain, the assistant coach, what's his, the redhead?
Mike McCreary?
McCreary.
Is that his name?
McCreary.
McCreary,
no, Scotty McCreary is the asshole from American Idol. Anyway, McQueen, what is his name? McFruit Loop.
You go ahead.
Okay.
It's Mike McCreary, no?
Yeah, I think that's right. Anyway, he allegedly saw Sandusky in the act, okay? Mm-hmm. And then we talked about this on an earlier show. Saw Sandusky in the act and then didn't beat his ass. Like, that's what's amazing to me. And then he later on, everybody gave him grief for it, and he started to go, no, I made sure that it stopped.
Yeah, it's Mike McCreary.
Mike McCreary. I made sure it stopped.
Yeah.
Right, you made sure it stopped, and then 12 years later, the guy still had a key to Penn State.
Because he wasn't a coach anymore. He just running this program. Right, he wasn't he wasn't the defensive coordinator anymore, I don't think, right?
I can't remember the story, but he was still active in the program in that he had access, he ran this thing, and he had keys to the shower room. And, no, you know what, I think he was still a coach.
Was he still a coach?
At the time that McCreary caught him.
Oh, at the time, and he's resigned since.
And then they kind of made him quit, because he reported, you know, McCreary then went and reported it to the AD. I would have reported
it. But they hush-hush made him leave.
I would have reported it to Sandusky's with my fist. But beside the point, so they hushed it up inside. But then Paterno is an asshole because, you know, he didn't just immediately fire the guy on the spot and get him the hell out of there and call the authorities. And instead he passed the buck to the athletic director. And the athletic director didn't immediately call the cops and get it reported. And it finally got reported and a fucking grand jury had to bring it all to light. They're all awful. You're right.
Yeah, it all stinks. I mean, I don't think you can single anybody. I don't know. You probably put Jerry Sandusky down, but I mean,
I had Sandusky on the
Paterno
list.
Paterno fits the bill. They all fit the bill.
Yeah.
They all fit the bill. All right,
now the show's less funny because we're getting into hardcore.
Well, you got to give me number three.
I need a number three.
You need a number three, and then. You're probably going to give me a three and a two.
I'm going to give you a three.
Give me a three.
I'm going to go, this is a Herman Cain. I mean, it's a tough thing to narrow down. But, I mean, come on.
Right, it is. I mean,
look, I would say Newt Gingrich, but Newt Gingrich has been an asshole since 1986 or whenever he got into Congress.
Right.
He's Newt is what he is, his whole shtick, his whole thing. He gets popularity mysteriously. This happens to him over and over again. Mm-hmm. He gets popular, and then he goes, well, I think we should open up sweatshops for poor kids. You'll just say something, right? Child labor. Did we really think that one through? Maybe we should have some. And then people go, oh, shit, he's nuts. But Herman Cain, much like Donald Trump, you should go, oh, man, it was never serious.
Yeah.
But this guy wasted everybody's time for months. Yeah. He had no qualifications to be president. He had no intention of being president. He had no hope.
He was
of being
Donald
president.
Trump without the Q rating. Was not, you know, he sort of was emulating Trump in a sense. He was just a rich guy trying to make himself a candidate.
He, you know what he was? He was like if an open micer got a call. Okay. Remember where it used to be like, they'd be like, hey, you want to open up for the Moody Blues?
Yeah.
Or the Doobie Brothers.
That occasionally happens.
And
some
open micer who's been doing comedy for 4 months.
They'll do a contest or something.
We'll win a contest, and they'll get to go to L.A. and work at the Improv.
So these straw polls are like open mic contests.
That's right. Right. Or, you know what I mean? Like some guy who's done a year of comedy, they'll go, you want to open for the Moody Blues at Pine Knob? There'll be 12,000 people there. Yeah. And they go, awesome! I'm going to play for 12,000 people! And then they get out on the stage, and it's crickets. Yeah. It's death. That's what Herman Cain did. He got the spotlight and then went, fucking quoted a Pokemon song. Isn't that the best thing you ever heard?
He did a lot of dumb stuff, but to me, the thing that really puts him over the top is that when he came out, he came. He said, "Look, I guess somebody he was trying to hire as an advisor,
yeah,
or somebody." And he said, "You have to take me seriously." He says, "I don't have the girlfriends. I don't have all the baggage. Sure. I don't have skeletons in the closet right. like these other guys right. do. I'm clean. I'm telling you, I'm clean. This sure. is all clean." Sure. Then who comes out? The girlfriends start coming out. Sexual harassment
right.
charges.
Right.
The guy was as dirty as any of them.
Okay. Now, Wiener thought he had it under control.
Yeah.
And right. that was stupid.
Right.
But Wiener did not go and announce to everybody he was clean as a whistle.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing with Kane. Kane is like every other guy in that sense. But at the same time, when you say you're not like every other guy, mm-hmm. and then you end up that you're kind of just like every other guy.
Right.
Not to mention the absolutely zero qualification for being president. I mean, that right. we'll shove that aside because
yeah.
you don't have a, you know, he doesn't have the market cornered on having no qualifications.
No.
Trump has that too. You know, there's lots of guys
right.
that you can say have no qualifications.
Even Michelle Bachmann is a member of Congress.
She's a member of Congress.
That that's at least something
on some level.
More.
Yeah.
Qualified.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Sure.
This guy who ran, by the way, have you ever had a slice of that pizza?
No, we don't have it here.
We had it at the mall in Oakland. At Oakland Mall, there was a Godfather's Pizza
oh,
in
was
the food
really?
Court for about,
already,
about a year and a half.
Already, that sounds great. The
right,
Oakland Mall
right,
food
right.
court.
The Oakland Mall, and the Oakland Mall doesn't even have really a food court. It's got like a little tiny corner where there's
yeah.
three restaurants in one yeah. strip. Right?
It's been so long since I've been in the Oakland Mall.
No, it's not, you know what I mean, like a full food court.
Right, where we have like eight things. And
what it is like the Dunham's closed or whatever, you know, one of the buildings closed, and so
okay.
they put three restaurants
oh,
in,
side by side.
Side by side in what would have been the space for
yeah,
a regular
okay,
store.
Yeah.
That's their food
there's
court.
There's one storefront with multiple.
Right, and then there's a couple booths. Yeah. And they put a Godfather's Pizza. And Godfather's Pizza they had in Cincinnati when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Right, and my dad used to bitch when we lived in Cincinnati. These people can't make pizza.
Yeah,
and he was right. The only yeah. the pizza sucks so bad in Cincinnati compared yeah. to Detroit pizza. That Godfather's pizza, you wouldn't feed to your fucking dead cat. I mean, it was terrible. It's all he couldn't even run that pizza chain, and he's going to run for president.
Yeah, he's.
It was a joke. The whole thing was an embarrassment and a joke, and it served the purpose for the Republican Party to go, look, we got a black guy.
Yeah.
And then he turned out to be awful. He quoted a Pokemon song as a in his campaign speech. What a joke.
All right. Well, there you go. All Herman right. Cain. All right. Well, Corey, since I did my number two, which was Kim Kardashian,
yes.
and I'm not pulling from I mean, I have extras that we'll talk about, but I want you to give me number two, and then I'll give you my number one, and then we'll do your number
You're
one.
You're not going
to
do a number two?
No, I had Kim Kardashian.
Oh, okay.
I mean, yeah. I could throw somebody in, but for the sake of time, you go ahead.
Right.
We're almost at
my
2 hours here.
Number
so.
Two. And by the way, this guy is beating out Osama bin Laden.
Well, he's dead. Well, he did a great thing. He did a great thing
right.
and died.
Kim Jong Il and bin Laden
yeah.
had the good decency
Gaddafi,
to leave the earth.
They're all dead.
Gaddafi, you already put his son.
Yeah,
so I
put
felt
his son
that
in
issue's
there.
Been discussed.
Okay.
Gaddafi was on my list.
All right,
I'm gonna put a guy and he leapfrogging homicidal maniacs and mass murderers and brutal repressive dictators. Number two, Tim Tebow.
All right, go ahead.
What a fucking asshole this guy is.
All right, well.
This guy,
I mean,
he throws like a junior high quarterback. I could go watch.
Okay.
I could watch Sehome play Berkeley and watch a guy throw the ball better. I went to a game. I went to a high school football game with mm-hmm. my dad. We went to Berkeley and Ferndale.
Yeah.
There were approximately three completed passes.
Yeah, yeah, they all run option. Yeah.
Right, right. They run.
Or
it's
they
all,
just throw incompletes.
It's running backs. It's, yeah. it's, tosses,
reverse.
It's reverses, and it's option, the quarterback runs. There were literally three or four completed passes in the whole game between both teams.
Yeah.
Ferndale kept trying to throw, couldn't complete a pass. Berkeley had a couple good passes. That was better quarterbacking on some level than what this Tebow does.
Okay.
The guy literally can't throw the ball for shit.
I suspect there's more reasons why you hate Tim Tebow.
There is plenty of reasons.
I suspect that
the
not
guy gets out there. Okay, so
having kind of a sidearm delivery,
he has a team with a decent defense.
Yeah,
the Broncos are a decent
good
defense.
Running back on Denver. Too.
They got a good running back. They got a kicker that hits 50-yard bombs. Mm-hmm. Their defense keeps them in games because their offense can't do fuck because mm-hmm. they got this dumb stumblebuck can't throw motherfucker. Okay, he's gotten rolled by two teams all year.
Yeah,
the Detroit Lions.
Uh-huh.
Beat the living pulp out
they
of
them. They did, yeah.
The Detroit Lions beat them. It was like 49-3.
I think that was his first or second start. Okay, though. I'm
was
not
it
sure.
48-3?
It was a cry.
And then
let me look it up,
the Patriots came in and stomped them because they're the Patriots. It's, you know what I mean? They're the Patriots. They're not even the best Patriots team this year. They're kind of a mediocre Patriots team.
For them, they're but still the, good.
Their
yeah,
ticket's
not...
still available.
Yeah, for the
I'm shocked
Chargers game. Yeah, maybe that won't be on TV.
You know why? It's Christmas Eve.
Is there a risk of them being blacked
out?
No,
there's no risk.
All right, I'm trying to get the
stats for the
yeah, I want to get the Tebow Lions game. But go ahead, keep going. On
all right. So what this guy does is he gets out there, this knucklehead, and he thanks Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Jesus. It's Jesus who did it. It's Jesus this. It's my Lord and Savior. He gets down on his knees. He prays to the Lord of heaven, and he gets up there. And you know what happens? What happens? He does the same thing. Jesus helps him win football games. Joel.
We won 45-10.
45-10. Okay. An utter ass kicking.
Yeah.
And the question is, did Jesus help him lose?
I mean, the guy I think is like 5-2 as a starter.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
By the way, Dan Orlovsky just won his first game in 10 starts.
As a Colt, yeah.
He had 10 starts and won none of them.
He's awful. Tebow's better than Orlovsky.
Sure. But I'm saying,
well, here's
it's the proselytizing.
Yeah.
It's the Christianity in mm-hmm. your face. It's the 24/7.
Right.
Look, I don't like when any athlete does it particularly. Mm-hmm. By the way, have you ever heard, other than a Muhammad Ali, have you ever heard a Muslim athlete get up there and thank Allah?
Yeah, I don't know.
In a football game? Has that ever? People bitch about, there's a couple NBA guys that are Muslim or whatever.
Okay.
But I never hear them go, you know, I turned my face to Mecca today, and Allah showed me the way into the end zone. Do you ever hear that?
Yeah.
Do you ever hear? Tebow's... Now, granted, there's not a lot of Jews in sports.
Okay.
But there's probably at least one Jew in the NBA. I've never heard him go, well, you know, it was a mikveh. It was a mikveh what happened today on the. I don't know why. Apparently, the 2,000-year-old man is playing.
Yeah, exactly.
But what I'm saying is, he gets out there, and it's Jesus threw the ball. Yeah. Jesus put the power in my arm.
Right.
When he gets his ass beat, did Jesus decide that the Lions were better than you?
Tim, how'd you escape that sack? Well, when you believe in Jesus, you can do anything. And it's like,
it's Jesus.
Just stop. Take a little credit for yourself.
I had a good bowel movement today because the Lord willed it to happen. Right. I am but a puppet. So when you lose 45-10 to the Detroit Lions, is it Jesus that let you lose?
He passed for 172 yards with one touchdown and one interception, and he rushed for 63 yards in that game against
them. That's probably a
But here's the thing. It's one thing to be humble with Tebow, but at some point you gotta thank your teammates, you gotta thank your coach, you gotta
sure,
you know what I mean? It's not you can't thank Jesus for everything.
He does.
Yeah, it's annoying.
It's much like they used to say, much like the quote on Rudy Giuliani was, it's like a noun of adjective in 9/11. You know, it was everything was 9/11. With Tebow, it's all Jesus.
It is.
Jesus, Jesus, Schmeezes.
Wow.
Enough with the goddamned. I'm going to say it. Enough with the goddamned God.
All right.
Enough with that.
But it's Jesus more than God. That's the thing. Because God is universal, you could say. God is Allah. God is the Jews believe in God. It's just Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
It's a
Jesus,
perpetual shitstorm of media attention, too.
It is. That's the problem.
That it's because you know what Tebow does? It gives a guy like Skip Bayless something to talk about every day. Skip Bayless could be in the Lifetime Asshole Hall of Fame. This Tebow
did nothing to separate himself from a regular year.
I mean,
Skip Bayless, but
are you sick of Tebow?
I'm sick of Tebow, but here's my thing. I think he would get press in the sporting world for winning the games mm-hmm. and winning them in an unusual way like he did, and I think he deserves credit for that. But when you add this Jesus element and the fact that he's celibate and saving himself from marriage, if you want to believe that, that really gets a whole nother thing of press, People Magazine, Star Magazine, all these people interested in it. You know, your aunties know who Tim Tebow is now. And it's like, what's the point of that? Why would you know who the 7-6 Broncos starting quarterback or whatever their record is?
By the way, also, fantasy.
It's more attention than he deserves.
So Tebow runs and he gets good yardage, right?
So is he good in fantasy then? I don't play.
Well, he's kind of decent in fantasy.
Well, he scores touchdowns and a running touchdown, 6 points, but. I thought you play in a yardage league or
a
completions league or something.
Yeah, we got weird stats in our
league.
Yeah,
so maybe Tebow might not be as good in that league.
Well, anyway, I have Matt Stafford as my quarterback, okay? And people laughed at me for picking Matt Stafford, and he's been good.
Tremendous.
He's had maybe his the lowest points he scored in a game for me all year was 14.
Yeah.
Which is respectable.
He probably threw a bunch of picks that game.
Yeah, that was the one game where he had four interceptions.
The glove game.
Right?
Yeah.
He averages about 30 a game.
Yeah.
And 28, 30, 40. He's in that range every week. Right. This week, he put up 40 because he threw four touchdowns and 300 yards.
I believe he's top five in the league.
Yeah.
Top six or
something.
Yeah,
but if you go to these
not even
fantasy,
in regular
these fantasy football touts, put Tebow up there,
yeah,
and his stat line isn't that good.
Yeah.
It's all hype. He's all saddle, no cowboy. Yeah. What is the line?
I don't
what is it, you know what I'm saying? All spur, no horse or some shit. Whatever, whatever those guys in Texas
I'm not say. Sure, but anyway. I agree with you on Tebow. I think it's overplayed. I think he is a good quarterback. I don't take that away from him. I don't think that he sucks. I think that he's unusual in the NFL, and I'm glad that, you know, the Jaworskis and these guys are wrong about him. I'm kind of glad that some of these NFL pundits have to eat a little crow when he wins games. That actually does please me in some level. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, just shut up with the Jesus. Shut up.
I mean, enough with
the Jesus. Enough with the Jesus. You win as many games as you want unless you're playing the Lions. But yeah. Enough with the Jesus. Mm. I've seen it. All right. I'm going to give you my number one asshole of the year.
Hit it. Hit me.
Now, this is a five-way tie. Now, I hate
it's a five-way tie.
I hate to do five-way ties, but again, I'm not sure who you single out. There's a general sort of thing going on here, but there's five people specifically have put themselves out there in a ridiculous way, in
Miami
my opinion. No. Five. I didn't even think of the Miami, although LeBron won last year. He was my asshole in 2010.
Those are five people.
But you know what? They lost, so yeah. Fuck the Heat. No, I'm going to give you the names. Natalie Maines, Eddie Vedder.
Oh.
Johnny Depp and Peter Jackson. Oh, it's four names. I'm sorry. It was more than that. And you know what? They are the assholes of the year
for.
What
did they do?
Because they championed the release of the West Memphis 3, despite the fact that they actually killed and raped a bunch of little boys. And I find that disgusting and horrible, and I think it's an abuse of your celebrity status. Because it's lies, essentially. You know, people that support, if you don't know what the West Memphis 3 case is.
Well, there's a movie called Paradise Lost.
Right. Which is essentially a work of fiction. And if you believe what this movie tells you, then three teenage boys were wrongly imprisoned for the murder of, I think they were 5 and 6 year old boys, or 6 and 7 year old boys. Mm-hmm. And the kids were violently raped, and one kid's penis was cut off. And they were stabbed with sticks, and it was a really horrible thing.
Okay.
And, you know, the premise of this movie, Paradise Lost, which came out in 1993,
mid-90s, yeah.
I want to say, something like that, was that these kids were targeted by the prosecutor for being Satanists and also for, you know, doing a satanic ritual, and that they were Metallica fans who wore black T-shirts. Unfortunately, the prosecutor, they did have some, like, belief in Satanism that was, you know, perfunctory. There was not a satanic ritual killing.
Mm-hmm.
The kids, from the evidence that has come out, the kids were drunk. They were hanging out somewhere by the side of the road. The little boys came up to them and they said something to little boys. Little boys gave them guff. And then Damien Echols, the leader of the group, pulled out his knife and grabbed the kids and ran them into the woods. Anyway, that's the story that is there for their guilt. And I think the reason support them is they go, well, you know what? You shouldn't throw kids in jail for listening to Metallica and wearing black T-shirts. I completely agree with that. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, there's evidence that says, in fact, one of the kids confessed on three separate occasions, including after his conviction for the murders, that they did it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not enough for celebrities. This is suddenly a cause. It's a cause. It's a cause that celebrities want to throw their weight behind, and I don't get it at all.
Well, unfortunately, I'm not as up on this whole
story. You know, and I wasn't either until I saw they let these guys out this year. Okay, mm-hmm. They were released because they did this Alford plea where they pled guilty to the charges in exchange for a commutation of their sentences. So these guys are free walking around.
Yeah.
And so I decided, I didn't know anything about it, really. I knew Paradise Lost was out, but I'd never really seen it. So they were sold originally to HBO. So HBO ran them after these kids were out, and I watched them on demand one afternoon. And after seeing the first one, I was like, they totally did it. Then I watched the second one, and the second Paradise Lost is all about they believe one of the stepfathers of the little boys did it because he was this, like, shit-talking hillbilly. And the guy is a shit-talking hillbilly who looks like a guy you wouldn't want to spend 5 minutes with. But there's no evidence this guy killed anybody.
Yeah.
And so it's sort of turned into a Kennedy assassination thing where there's all these conspiracy theories, and there was a homeless guy that they found in a Bojangles restaurant bathroom on the, you know, and it's all a bunch of, you know, badge man kind of JFK shit. When the fact of the matter is that the, you know, Damien Eccles was found with mud all over his t-shirt on the night. The guys did it. And I don't feel that if you're a celebrity,
this appeals to Joel Fragamenti, Boy Detective. This is unfortunately, it's hard for me to come. I know Paradise Lost is a highly regarded documentary. A lot of people think it's a great documentary,
And I get where it is. It's a good, it's a well made documentary.
But I unfortunately, I apparently the issue was that there was genetic evidence that was not attributable. There was extra additional evidence. There was genetic material, right?
The boys were found in a river.
Yeah.
So there wasn't a lot of DNA to be. There was no DNA. Mm. First of all, they didn't have DNA testing at the time that the trial happened.
Yeah.
And I guess they had it, like OJ was going on at the same time, but that was LA and this was Arkansas, and Arkansas didn't have the DNA at the time. They've run DNA since, and they found one of the boy's stepfather's hair in a shoelace. The kids were bound in with their shoelaces, with their hands behind their back. Yeah. But if you might have your stepfather's shoelaces if your dad tied your shoes for you before you went out to play. It doesn't mean that he did it. You know what I'm saying? So there wasn't DNA evidence that the teenage accusers did it. But the DNA did not in any way clear them. In fact, because what was happening when the Alford plea came out is there was going to be a new trial. And the risk for them was they could introduce DNA if they thought the DNA would clear them. When the DNA came back and didn't exactly clear them, that's when they decided to accept the Alford plea.
Okay.
So that's sort of the timeline of events. There was going to be a new trial based on the DNA, but the DNA did not clear them in that sense.
Well, look, I kind of agree with you in the this is where it's tough, though.
Right.
There, every day you could find hundreds of guys that are in prison rotting right now.
Okay.
Wrongly.
Sure.
The DNA comes and exonerates.
Yeah, and then they do that. Barry Sheck, who we mentioned, has a whole thing with that.
So in this particular case, I haven't done enough research of my own other than being marginally aware of it, and I'm aware that people do fundraisers for it.
They do.
I haven't studied enough to definitively weigh in what I think, but I will say you're right that sometimes celebrities get behind causes which are... Well, okay, one of my ex-girlfriends went to a very liberal college where the, I shit you not, the keynote speaker at her graduation, the gave the address, what do you call
commencement address,
was given via satellite by Mumia Abdul-Jamal.
That's pretty liberal.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah, and that guy's completely guilty.
Okay, and that guy, I'm kind of buying that he was involved. You know,
right?
Stark innocent.
Here's the thing about Jamal and about the West Memphis 3 thing, is you can defend them in that they didn't get a fair trial, and you know this prosecutor was out of line or they manufactured evidence, okay? And if you want to support them in that way, but here's the problem: Johnny Depp took the kids to Disneyland after they got out of jail. Peter Jackson paid all of their legal bills and is making his own documentary about it. It just they're getting a little too involved.
Well,
Natalie Maines and Eddie Vedder were at the press conference with the guys when they got out of jail.
This is the same problem.
Yeah.
This is exactly, you know what, we're hitting at something, Joel.
What's that?
There's a theme with all our assholes of the year.
What's that?
Hubris.
Well, yeah.
This is the same problem with Russell Simmons getting involved in Occupy Wall Street.
Yeah.
You think unfairly. This is the same problem I have with Bo Cephas mouthing off about politics, which he seems to know nothing about.
Yeah.
It's when people step out of their comfort zone.
Yeah.
I don't mind people being an expert on a lot of different things. Being, you know, there are people that are. Ben Mankiewicz is a film critic. He's on, he's like the fill-in host on Turner Classic Movies.
Okay.
Right? He was on the terrible show after they fired Roper.
Okay, I know who you're talking about.
He was decent. The other guy was a complete load.
Yeah.
The Bens. But he also does a politics show. He does like a radio show where he does politics. But he seems to be fairly adept at either thing. You can do more than
what
one thing.
What does he do?
The Young Turks.
What did he say, though? What is
oh, no,
example?
I'm just saying. There's an example.
Oh, he's the guy who steps out.
You could be a movie critic and a political consultant or whatever.
You could be a guy
if
who...
you seem to know what you're talking about. When people don't know what they're fucking talking about, and Eddie Vedder is not a fucking, you know.
Right.
He's not the mentalist. Well, he's not Simon Baker.
Yeah. My feeling is that these celebrities, people have an emotional attachment to these kids because they feel like, hey, when I was a teenager, people didn't like the fact that I had long hair, and I grew up in a small town, and people harassed me. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about if these kids, and they served 18 years before they were let out, and fine, you know, is 18 years enough? I can live with that. I'm okay with that. But, you know, you don't have to go. You're essentially, you know, you're doing, you want,
well,
cancel the parade for these guys. They're killers.
Does it then lead
they're
to...
They're killers. They're baby rapists and killers.
Does it then lead to the, if they didn't do it, who did?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. And what happens with these people is when you argue that, well, these guys did it, and here's the evidence of them doing it, that people will come with you with the stepfather, the crazy stepfather story. And so then you get conspiracy theories to essentially argue their innocence. If they can find somebody else, then they didn't do it.
This
and it's
whole mess sounds like the prosecution kind of screwed the case up.
Well, the prosecution used some arguments, like the Satanism argument, which really, it wasn't necessary.
Right.
And the problem is that, you know, the police, it's funny because when you talk to cops, and I've heard interviews with cops, and I know some cops, that, you know, cops generally don't look at motive. Mm-hmm. Cops deal with evidence. Cops deal with who was there, where, why, and when, who had the opportunity. They don't really care about motive so much.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to convince juries like a
motive.
You
need motive.
Juries like a motive. It's not necessary. It's not necessary in our legal system to have a motive. But our human minds want to look for the motivation for somebody to do this. That's why you can agree that, yeah, of course the mafia killed JFK. They had a reason to. The mafia didn't kill JFK. We know that because Oswald killed him.
Well, you know that because you're a genius.
But I'm saying you know that just because somebody...
You're a genius. You know more about everything.
Just because somebody would have the motivation to do something doesn't mean that they did it. And that's unfortunately where the prosecutor kind of screwed up in that case.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been sort of the rallying cry of these people that want to defend him. But the evidence, there's so many good online resources about the evidence. All of the evidence is online about the West Memphis 3. All of the interrogation transcripts and some of the audio is available online. You can go listen to this. And most of this stuff is not in the Paradise Lost documentaries. If you draw your own conclusion, I think most people think that they did it. If you've looked at everything, if you just watched Paradise Lost, you can come away and say, hey, they're innocent. But there's so much that they, you know, that's ignorant. It's like when Oliver Stone made JFK.
Well, you're a
you
super
can believe, I'm Corey, I'm not, I got a computer. I got Google. Okay. Natalie Maines got Google. Eddie Vedder's got Google.
Uh-huh.
Go look it up. And if they looked it up, I would think that a reasonable person may think, hey, you know, there's probably a chance they did it. Maybe I shouldn't go have a concert for him, you know?
Well, look, I don't know enough about the case to say...
You don't, and I'm not expecting you to draw any conclusions.
No, I'm not, but I will say that your point about celebrities jumping in and having fundraisers for things, yeah, sometimes they blow it.
Right. And it's fine. And listen, you want to raise money for the Democrats or the Republicans or something, I don't blame anybody for that. But
it's the other problem is these are three white kids who listen to metal.
Yeah.
Or whatever they listen to.
Right.
Which is appealing to the musicians.
It is, yeah.
Meanwhile, I could show you fucking five guys in Detroit right now that got pinned for the wrong thing. They're sitting there rotting in prison.
Sure.
That are black guys from the inner city that no one's going to champion. And you'll see these stories all the time where a guy gets DNA evidence. He's been sitting in prison for 25 years and they get it. You know what I mean?
That's true.
The problem is they pick the wrong thing.
Yeah, that's why I hate these.
Mumia Abdul-Jamal was kind of a political radical.
Yeah.
And his backstory was appealing to certain people.
He was a talk show host.
Far left people found him to be desirable ideologically, right?
Right. Well, it's...
And the same bias goes on the other side, too, where there's right-wing, you know, the Houthari militia.
Yeah.
There's guys who think, well, they're just up to... They have the right to own guns.
People
and
draw
shit.
Sides when they see, you know, stuffy prosecutors in suits trying to put kids in jail for something that maybe they didn't do, you know. Anyway.
There's also a certain suspicion that a lot of people have, and there's probably a kernel of truth to it that doesn't trust the legal system.
Okay.
And this is where you get shit like this.
Yeah, well, That's fine.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's hey, it's a cause. It's a cause better saved on different defendants.
Mm-hmm.
There's people. I agree with you that would deserve this champion that they didn't get. So anyway, I'm calling them out.
All right.
All right, Corey, you got to come up with a number.
Now we're
one.
gonna switch the tempo a little bit here. This is it gets real heavy when you get to the top. And
Corey's got a number.
And this
one.
Person beat out Casey Anthony.
Casey Anthony is not the number one.
Beat out Casey Anthony.
I didn't even consider her. I mean, I guess she would have been more of an asshole maybe when she killed the kid. I don't know. Okay.
Beat out Casey. Scott Walker of Wisconsin, who tried to break the unions.
Well, we'll give all these. Let me. We'll give all our extras.
Beat out a lot of people.
All right.
Number one, biggest asshole
biggest
of the year.
Biggest asshole of the year.
Drum roll, please.
I might have one.
Remember every time we tried to play the drum roll, I couldn't find it for like 10 minutes?
I can find one. I think if I have the fader up on the thing.
All right. Can Joel get a drum roll?
Can I get a drum roll?
That was your number one, the West Memphis 3.
My West Memphis 3 was
Natalie
the...
Maines. All right. And the number one asshole of the year.
It's pretty long. Is
Adam Sandler. That's right, everybody.
You know what?
You are the biggest douche.
Yeah. Here's
Adam Sandler.
Here's the thing.
Pulled off a trifecta.
I completely forgot about Sandler. I meant to put him in. Yeah. He should have been not in my top five,
sure.
But lower
on the list.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. He did, look, every year, thousands of bad. Okay. Every year in America, there are probably 300 to 400 movies released in a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's movies that aren't released that you don't see. But, you know, somewhere 400 or 500 movies a year made in America. And then, you know, in places like India, maybe 800 movies a year made. Okay. And, you know, around the globe, several thousand movies a year are made, shot, produced, released. You got to do something special to put out. Three that completely suck a dong.
Right.
A lot of people were in multiple movies this year, right? Yeah. People were in multiple films. The Jessica Chastain, she won breakthrough performance in the Detroit Film Critics Society because she was in Tree of Life, The Help, Take Shelter, The Doubt, the Debt. She was in like, she was in a million movies. No one had heard of her last year. This year, she shot like five movies and she was good in all of them.
All right.
Right? Came out awesome. Michael Fassbender was in like everything from X-Men to Shame to a movie about Jung and Freud having arguments over who gets to spank fucking Keira Knightley. All right. Directed by David Cronenberg. You can make many movies in a year, right? Woody Allen makes a movie a year every year.
Yeah.
You got to do something to make three shit bombs in one year.
Tell people the movies he made.
The first film, now he made these films, technically he made the films in 2010 and 2009.
Right, but they were released this year.
They were all released this year. He starred in Just Go With It. This came out in the winter with Jennifer Aniston.
Let me get the grosses.
Brooklyn Decker. Yeah, pull up the grosses. Because
I know
would
that
you?
One did well, I thought.
Box Office Mojo, would you?
Yeah, okay.
All right, you go to Box Office Mojo, I'm going to go to Rotten Tomatoes, all right?
Oh, wow. You might as well go to Metacritic because it's, well, actually, they're both going to be awful, so.
Yeah.
When it's bad. It
doesn't matter which one.
With his movies, yeah, they're really. By the way, Box Office Mojo is down for whatever reason. Yeah, I'm getting a 503 from them.
Those sons of bitches.
But I can get the grosses on IMDb. Oh, here we go. I finally got it. All right. So we're going to look up. Well, come on. You got to talk.
Feverishly typing as we
look. Yeah, talk. Tell them we got an audience.
I'm looking it up. All right. This is Adam Sandler, everybody. Okay. What did he do? Eight Crazy Nights. That's
Just Go With It grossed $103 million domestic plus $111 foreign for $214 million. The budget was $80 million is an estimate. So that movie made a shitload of money.
All right.
And then let's go to what else?
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. He also provided a voice in a third film and a fourth film I forgot about. He was in Zookeeper where he played Donald the Monkey.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So Just Go With It got a 19 on Rotten Tomatoes. pulled a whole 19%.
Well, I have the worst of the three, which is he didn't star in. Was he the star in this movie?
No, but he produced and wrote it.
He produced and wrote Bucky Larson, Born to Be a Star. It grossed $2.5 million domestic. It had a production budget of $10 million, so that's $8 million in the hole.
Just Go With It pulled a 19. That's the high water mark that he pulled this year, okay? Zookeeper pulled a 14%.
Okay.
Jack and Jill pulled a 4% positive rating. 4%, it's rotten on Rotten Tomatoes, but it's a 4% positive rating, right?
Okay, I have Jack and Jill's gross here. Yeah. 70 million domestic, 16.8 million foreign, for a total of $87 million.
And what's the budget?
$79 million. So they're really at break even.
They're cutting
much.
Close to the
Very
bone.
Close. When you throw in marketing budget, mm-hmm. it's probably even beyond that. Mm-hmm. So, because that $79 million is mm-hmm. production only and not...
yeah.
So he basically had... So he's still in the black for the year.
Right, but
still in the black for
not
the year.
Big hits by Hollywood standards in any way, right?
Just go with it. I think came out in January.
Well, okay, in Hollywood, if you break even, that's not considered a success.
Yeah, but breaking even, I think
it's
everybody
not a, it's not a big bomb,
right? Yeah.
But
yeah.
Breaking even is not. They, no one's happy. Breaking you got to make some kind of profit, yeah. right? If that movie had made a $30 million,
but most movies don't, right? Isn't it just that? The hits cover the losses.
Yes, there's a lot of what we call loss leaders in Hollywood. And this was a down year for box office all the way across the board.
Yeah.
And it's been down for 4 years, but this was a particularly bad year. Bucky Larson, Born to Be a Star, which he produced and wrote and had his little butt buddy Nick Swartzen star in. 0% on Rotten Tomatoes. Gross.
Not one positive review.
$5 million.
Which means out of 100 reviews, less than one was positive.
Right. Now, they did not screen it for critics ahead of time. That generally makes critics cranky.
Yeah.
Because that's our job is to
watch
movies.
That means you have to go out on a Friday and see something.
Yeah, and when they hide it from you, we generally go, much like the West Memphis 3, we figure there's some DNA evidence on this thing being bad. Universally considered one of the worst movies ever made.
Sure.
Adam Sandler, what are you doing?
Yeah, he's...
You complete load.
You know, we had this discussion off the air, but your argument, too, was that not only does he just not make good movies, he always, like, sets them in a tropical location.
Yes.
Or Jack and Jill takes place on a cruise ship. And he's just, like, he makes movies in the summer somewhere.
He takes a vacation and builds the studio. That's what he does.
Well, that's...
We're going to go to Hawaii. Put on a bikini and it'll be fine.
Where did Grown Ups take place? So that was
Grown Ups was at the Poconos or something.
But it was in the summer.
It was
nice,
like a cabin. It was like a beach house. And then they went to a water park. I'm not fucking kidding. That's what they did.
Yeah.
They were like, hey, Spade and Chris Rock, we'll go to a water park. We'll shoot a movie. It's the worst dreck I've ever seen. Jack and Jill is so thunderously... horrifically awful that it didn't
I never saw it,
it's so bad it's so stupid, and it's so stupid I think even stupid people were like that's fucking dumb.
People still go, man. I mean, it didn't,
not as much as they used to,
but is it a $79 million budget just because you're paying him and you're paying Katie Holmes and you're paying Al Pacino all these people?
No, it went into the wonderful craft work.
The split screen?
Blue
screen technology?
It went into the
epic.
They built a special IMAX camera for Jack and Jill. They built lavish sets. They recreated, 14th century palaces.
Yeah.
No, it's horse manure.
Horrible.
There is actually a castle in Jack and Jill. But Al Pacino's in Jack and Jill, stinking up the
that's
joint.
What I say, yeah.
It's terrible. It's rotten, and I've had enough. And if he did one this year, if he just put out Jack and Jill, it would be awful. It would be forgettable.
Mm-hmm.
But he puts out 3 movies in a year that are the worst movies.
And there's
ever.
No, like, he puts them out now, and, like, there's no effort to even make a good movie. Like, there's no there's no shame
Not
in him that his movies suck.
No. People slag Jerry Lewis, okay? It's hip, there's a debate whether Jerry Lewis is either celebrated as a genius or slagged as a complete idiot. And for a long time, the idiot crowd was winning.
Mm-hmm.
But Jerry Lewis, if you see like a movie like The Bellhop, he wrote, directed, starred in, produced, did the craft service. He fucking made lasagna for the crew.
Yes.
Right? He did the whole thing from top to bottom.
Yeah.
Sandler strolls in, goes, let's bring my friends in here. He's got his little buddies. He's got like a... you know who's got a tighter junta? Kim Jong-il. You know what I mean? It's like it's like a little phalanx of protective forces.
Mm-hmm.
You got this this schnook who... Oh, God, this Dennis Dunphy, I think, is the guy that directs all his movies.
Dennis Dugan
Dennis
is the director
Dugan.
Of Jack and Jill.
Yeah,
so.
Dennis Dugan. What a schnook.
He's the asshole.
He is. And then he puts all his little buddies like Alan Covert in it and yeah. Nick Swartzen and all these little fun. He's like he's got a posse of hangers on. He's like a rap groups have the same.
But is it why is he not like a Pauly Shore, wherein that the movie fad ends at some point?
I don't know
why does because it seemed like maybe it did. And
Eddie Murphy wore out his welcome.
Right, and Murphy went and deliberately made kids movies at a certain point. When, you know, Vampire in Brooklyn and Life and, like, Eddie's stuff was sort of going downhill. Uh-huh. And then Eddie said, fuck it, I'm going to make his movies. But Sandler's not even to that point yet. Like, what?
No.
What, like, he is the shameless. That's what I mean. Like, he's shameless.
Utterly.
Utterly. The shameless. Hollywood people. I mean, I think in Hollywood, just the money talks. And until he loses money, movie after movie after movie, they're going to just continue to let him do it.
Now.
As long as he wants. But I'm going to say, for a while, he made Spanglish and Funny People. And
Punch Drunk Love.
And
he made efforts to
be something other than
he attempted to do something.
The clown. Yeah.
He wasn't really rewarded for it. Punch Drunk Love, he got good reviews and he got some respectability.
Right.
Rain Over Me didn't do very anything. Okay. And no one liked it, but try something. All right. Jim Carrey made Mr. Popper's Penguins this year. All right.
Which got to be terrible.
But he also made a movie called I Love You, Philip Morris, which no one saw, but which was really good.
That was in my top 10 of last year.
Yeah.
When we did it last year. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a great
movie.
It was a really good movie. A challenging movie. Uh-huh. He's doing gay stuff with everybody. You know? No, he was the top. But,
was he the top? Or
yeah,
was
he
bottom?
Was the top.
Either way, there was some ass getting fucked and he was there.
Sure. You know, it was edgy content. It was a good movie. It was a good performance. Adam Sandler does none of that. I think he's capable of more than he does, but he is the leading cause of retardation in America. His movies are so shitty. They drag everybody into the toilet. Stop it already. Stop cashing paychecks on the company dime, going on vacation, having a beach party with Jennifer Aniston, you piece of shit. Well, you're the asshole of the year.
I agree with you on that. I'm going to applaud that.
Screw you.
Well, here's the only, I mean, first of all, I would make this argument if anybody was Sandler, but maybe the asshole should be people supporting the movies. But at the same time, it is Sandler. He deliberately.
He made it.
It's
he
not
knew
like
what he was doing.
It's not like he was trying.
He
know,
made three of them, right, Joel. Yeah, they all right. suck. Three
yeah,
of them.
No, I agree. Three. Two,
four.
Two could be a coincidence. Three is three. Yeah, whatever
yeah,
that
exactly.
phrase is.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Two fool me once.
It's like evidence.
On,
yeah. yeah, there's the evidence all points in the direction that he's an asshole. And then on his day off, he goes and dubs the voice of a monkey in Zookeeper with Kevin James.
Well, listen, that thing flopped, and thank God, because, you know, Paul Blart Mall Cop was one of the worst movies ever made. And somehow he was
hot shit.
Do you
think we stopped the Kevin James movement?
Yeah, hopefully that's over.
Did the Kevin James momentum stop?
I think that's done now, hopefully. Anyway, let's do some leftovers here real quick. And
sure.
We're at 2.5 hours now. But anyway.
Well, they're good.
Well, no, but let me just give you some leftovers because I didn't get everybody in here. Okay, I had just some of mine, and then you can do some of yours. I have Pippa Middleton / guys who think Pippa Middleton is hot. You're the asshole because, come on, give me her face looks like a bus hit it. It's no good. She had a nice ass in that wedding, in that bridesmaid dress, but that was about it. Let's continue the women thing. Olivia Munn.
Ooh.
One of the assholes. Just for, you're overexposed.
Sure.
You've been thrown off television now. Your sitcom was canceled. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've said this before. She's going to end up in daytime.
Brett Ratner. Let me throw him in the mix.
Oh, for making.
For being involved with Olivia Munn.
In the Oscars.
And then he made up that movie was bad, too. Right. Tower
now,
Heist.
This one was in my top 10 probably for most of the year, but I took her out. Whitney Cummings, I thought, because Whitney's not as bad as I thought it was going to ultimately be, although Two Broke Girls is worse than, it's the worst show on television. I mean, it's every bit as bad as Two and a Half Men. It's every bit as bad. It's the same goddamn thing.
Uh-huh.
So Whitney Cummings I had in there. Mark Zuckerberg, you screwed up Facebook.
Oh, God.
And people were so mad about that when it happened, and now no one. I think that's the thing with Facebook.
No, but you know what?
People will just continue to just
go
along
what?
With it.
Have you seen the new timeline?
I've seen people have timeline profiles. But you know what? Until people stop using Facebook, people can claim they're outraged all they want. Yeah. People are going to continue to use it.
I'm not using the timeline.
You're going to be forced to at some point.
Well, okay.
Are you off when that happens? But you don't have to see your own timeline. You still have a page.
Am
that's
I
going
to be forced to use the timeline?
The timeline is going to be your profile. It's not going to be the page you see when you log
that
in.
That is the most unreadable garbage.
It is.
And it's, Facebook is supposed to be. Here's the thing about Facebook. This is why it got successful.
But your wall and all that will still be the same. Your feed will still be the same, I think.
MySpace got into personalization, and then people put MIDIs up there, and people put videos,
backgrounds and kitty
cat gifts.
And
then as soon as
gifts,
you clicked on somebody's link, it would play their fucking whatever
their band,
whatever their shitty band or whatever Sleater-Kinney song they had up there. And that got to be where people didn't want to use it.
Yeah.
So Facebook became palatable and acceptable to a mass audience because it was basically a blank tablet and you could just basically have conversations with your friends or post pictures of your niece or whatever, or there's a new puppy. And you and then that it was... You know what it is? Coca-Cola, okay? Coca-Cola goes with everything.
But I think that people were mad when this happened, when this right edge with all the scrolling.
The thing came
in. Yeah, I brought up mine.
You know what? You
can
click that close, though. You can shut that off.
Right, but then, but I think this is going to remain. I think it's when you go to whoever has, see, I don't even know
but they're beta testing timeline right
but
now.
But I've seen people with timelines. Like, I've clicked on it and gone to a timeline.
Yeah. It's a hot buttered mess.
Here, I think. There's a timeline for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I agree. It's so ugly. It's like just the worst.
No, that don't say that about that person.
No, she's cute, but the
well, the one layout, on the right, that's rough.
I'm not sure what that was. All right, but yeah, so Zuckerberg, I think people were mad at
they ought
for
to
a
be.
While, but I think people will just ultimately put up with Facebook.
Lindsay Lohan.
Okay, yeah, sure. How many court screw ups can she do?
I think Amy added that one. I think Twihards Amy added.
Oh, absolutely.
That's very sure.
I have Anderson Cooper just for being himself, more or less. But he also he did some stunt during the year where like a kid fell off skateboard and like broke his leg or something.
And
it was so I wrote it down at the time when it happened, and you know, now it's just Anderson Cooper just sort of he sort of was becoming that ubiquitous broadcast news guy, and now he's doing some lightweight show where he's telling people how to save money at the supermarket.
Oh, well, this,
and I kind of went like,
Yeah. Daytime television could be on the assholes.
Right,
of the
year.
Because everybody's trying to be Oprah, and now you've got...
That's what he's doing.
The talk.
Yeah.
The chew.
Sure.
That's the talk. The chew is worse. The chew is, let's talk about yappy shit, and then we'll cook a recipe while we're doing it.
While Mario Batali cooks
up. And then they've got Clinton Kelly, who's from What Not to Wear, and he has to do makeovers because he can't cook. So they got a homo talking to a cook, to a chef, and then they've got, you know what, that show's the worst? Maybe I should save this for the TV show.
Maybe we'll do it. I think we're going to do a worst of TV, best of TV coming up. Anybody, okay, I've got Radiohead just for sucking. They used to be good, and now they suck. I've got Radiohead. I've got Puff Daddy, P. Diddy. Now, this was a TMZ story that kind of didn't, but it was big on the day it happened. He attacked a guy at a nightclub for drinking the wrong brand of vodka.
Really?
Like, I guess you're supposed to drink P. Diddy's brand, and the guy didn't, and there's a video of P. Diddy, like, beating a guy up.
Was it, like, a party he hosted?
Yeah, it was, like, some party, and a guy held up the wrong vodka, and P. Diddy got mad, and I go, that seems like a petty thing to do.
Well, that is bad.
Who else you got?
The CEO of Lowe's, Robert Niblock.
Oh, yeah.
Because they got into that for no good reason.
You know who's the asshole is these family associations who write letters to
anyone. Sure.
They're really the ass. Sure. The Lowe's responded to it in the wrong way, but, you know.
Well, because, you know, I know Muslims don't shop for wood.
Right. Because you know what happens is the CEO of Lowe's, he decides what shows they advertise on. That's what he does all day. He sits in his fucking office and watches Muslims. He don't know what show the Lowe's ads are on.
I know.
There's some other guy that does that.
But he caved it a whole thing.
Well, it's ridiculous. Those people who write those letters should be ashamed of themselves.
Alex Rodriguez for
what did he do?
Sucking. He whiffed in the playoffs.
Oh,
so
yeah, he was bad. But,
just for being A-Rod. First of all, just being A-Rod.
A lot of heat came off him when they won the World Series the one year with him, so he doesn't get it like he used to.
Derek Jeter, also, while we're naming Yankees. Did you hear the Derek Jeter story?
He gives a gift basket of memorabilia at the Chixie Bank.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm just listening.
Do you do that?
There's a Joel Fragamenti basket. There's enough Chuck the Clown memorabilia selection, sure.
This is my laminate. Backstage at the gathering.
I've given away a
2007.
I've given away a gathering crew shirt or two in my day. God, so
that's terrible.
How about Steve Jobs? I know he's dead, but my argument there is he used some alternative medicine.
Yeah.
And he died prematurely, and had he gone and done conventional treatments right away, he might still be alive.
Conrad Murray?
Well, yeah. I had him 2 years ago as one of my assholes.
Sure.
The year that Michael actually died.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That documentary he did was real bad. It made him look like a real dick.
Yeah.
I have the Nintendo Corporation.
Okay.
Because the Wii U looks dumb, which is coming out next year. The 3DS has not been a hit like they expected.
I'm going to include the Microsoft company for Windows 7 phones.
Oh, well, you don't like that interface.
Which suck. And then
Xbox.
Well, Windows 7 phones went...
People actually like them, but they haven't caught on.
It took a dump, and Android is kicking its ass.
Yeah.
And then they take that losing formula, and they take that and put it on Xbox and jacked up the Xbox
dashboard. I didn't like the old Xbox. I didn't like the NXE, as they called it.
This one's worse.
I like the original one with the blades where you couldn't see anything. All I feel is everything's just an excuse for them to put up commercials. Okay.
New Kids on the Block and Backstreet Boys are reuniting for a tour.
Yeah, they did an album and stuff.
Going on tour together.
Well, I think they've done that already. But
out of here.
They suck. I have Soulja Boy. Mm-hmm. He claimed, and it was on TMZ, he bought a $55 million G5 jet. Now, of course, they looked into it, and of course, he doesn't have the money to buy this jet.
Sure.
But somehow, he was trying to get people to believe. I think he rented one. And it's like, nobody needs a $55 million jet.
No.
And especially not some guy, because I looked up Soulja Boy's hits, and he had like a number 7 single in 2005. You know what I mean? Like, he's not even as popular as, you know, a guy. Even he, like, you know what I mean? Like, Gaga can't afford a
G5 jet. For being alive.
All right. I do have Alec Baldwin on my extra list because,
well,
listen, I get that the airline people are ridiculous with their electronics. Mythbusters has tested that. You know, your electronics don't interfere with.
How about Mythbusters for launching a cannon?
Well,
dropped a cannonball through somebody's house.
But you know that was actually the Cary Grant and Tori.
Oh, the
team
B
that did that.
The B team did it.
That was the B team that did that.
Well, if the B team did it.
Well, so I do have Alec Baldwin. Speaking of airplanes, I don't know what this girl's name is, but she didn't quite make the top. The girl who walked into the propeller.
Yeah.
Just recently.
The model, that's awful.
I mean, look, you're just dumb. I guess you're not an asshole for doing that, but you're dumb.
Sure. All right, lightning round. Let's speed it up.
I got one final. This is my last one. Ariana Huffington.
Oh, wow.
They put her in control of AOL's blogs, and all of these editors of the blogs are all quitting and doing their own blogs. AOL is a bad company already, but apparently nobody likes her, and everybody is quitting those blogs. And that's some big blogs. A lot of people don't even realize what AOL owns anymore, but they own.
Well, the HuffPost is becoming a real mess.
Well, I don't know. But I know that like TechCrunch was a big site, and the editors of TechCrunch have all quit over Ariana. And what they're going to do is just open a new site, and TechCrunch is probably going to disappear.
Uh-huh.
Or
kind of
whatever. So
it's kind of a mess over there. I do like some of the stuff on there, but it's kind of a mess.
Well, my point is that the content was good. Whatever she's doing wrong.
Well, my problem with the HuffPost, their headline writing is as bad as Fox.
Is it?
Everything on Fox is an alert.
Yeah.
Everything on the HuffPost is like, it's a fight. You know what I mean? Like, if there's a clip of somebody going, you know, I thought that was, I didn't particularly like what Mitt Romney said in that debate. They'll go, Romney ripped. You know what I mean?
Right.
Gingrich hates Romney.
I don't know if it was her this week.
John Stewart, bless everybody.
Barney Frank's inappropriate T-shirt this week. I was just like, okay, that's enough of that.
Right.
Nothing. It was nothing.
I know. I saw that. He did an interview.
It was nothing. It was not
t-shirt.
Newsworthy.
He wasn't wearing a suit.
He's got a broken arm, so he put on some shirt. You can see he's got big bitch tits.
Well, he was wearing. He did an interview not in a suit.
Yeah.
For like the first time in 20 years.
He was on the floor of Congress, and you can see his nipples through his shirt. Who gives
a
really?
Fuck?
Yeah, and it was a big scandal. Well, give me a break.
Yeah. No, that's a problem. It's this yellow journalism on both sides.
Yeah.
Where everything's a fight.
You got to see this.
Right.
Can't miss this.
Fox. Seriously. It's raining today. Is a fucking weather alert.
Yeah.
It's all an alert and alarm.
Who else you got? You got.
What else? Let's run them out real quick here.
I'm done.
What are we at? That's going to about do it there.
That's it? You got
Ryan Dunn?
Well, he did die. Mm-hmm. You know, whenever you die, like, doing the dumb shit that made you famous, you pretty much deserve, you know.
The cast of Glee?
Oh, Glee's.
That Glee concert movie.
Oh,
if
yeah,
we do a
yeah,
movie,
yeah,
hey, if we do a movie thing,
we're gonna do movies.
Worst
next year.
Of, right there.
Well, because you know I gotta see a lot of movies yet before we can do a best of. So that, we'll do that in January.
The whole show, the whole cast.
Well, I don't like that producer. He seems like a sanctimonious jerk off.
Ryan so. Murphy, they're all awful. What else we got? It's regular people that suck. Janice Daniels, the mayor of Troy, Michigan. That dummy. She not only the first thing she does, they find out that she had posted some like. I wish they wouldn't let the queers get married in New York. So I'm gonna throw out my I Heart New York bag.
Yeah,
that was her quote.
Yeah.
So, by the way, Troy, Michigan's a suburb. The biggest that's where I live.
Yeah.
The biggest thing going. It used to be the headquarters of Kmart until Kmart moved or whatever. The biggest thing going there is a mall. Okay, they've got a really nice mall.
Yeah, a nice mall.
That's the biggest thing going in Troy. Troy's got some office buildings, and it's an 80,
yeah, they got a lot
80,000 people. It's a pretty big.
It's a big place.
It's a, but it's a suburban community.
Yeah.
This is not where they're going to decide the gay marriage,
right.
right?
There's no, yeah.
Why is she involved in that?
It's got nothing.
And then it turns out she voted no on, they got $8.5 million to build a transit, to update the bus terminal and
oh,
build
yeah,
the whole thing.
Inch.
They got it. The government said, here you go, $8.5 million. And she went, why are we spending taxpayer money on a bus? And it, she's an idiot. She's a dumb.
Time to vote her out.
Gone. She just got voted in. It's not, we gotta.
Well, that's
we need
what
to
happens.
Call it again. Let's
well,
do it over.
You know, I didn't have Governor Snyder on my list, and that guy screwed all Michigan all up.
He's
the
kind
hell,
of
so.
A schnook.
Yeah. So,
boy, oh boy, Simon Cowell.
Yeah.
That for the TV episode. We'll get into.
Well, now, and I'm hearing that the guy that you don't like, we talk about this privately, but the guy on X Factor,
yeah.
that you think is a terrible host. Is not coming back, and now they're saying, no, he is coming back.
Okay, this is what happened.
There's
okay.
controversy.
I could do this whole day, all day.
All right, please,
X Factor.
We need at least an hour, 60 minutes
of
X Factor.
It's a terrible show to begin with.
I've seen 2 seconds of
okay.
it.
Okay, yeah. There was a list today of the 10 biggest controversies and scandals on X Factor. How are you on a, you're on a show for a year, and you got 10
it's
scandals.
It's been out since September,
yeah.
and there's scandals.
Yeah. And it's like lip syncing and like...
they did do that.
They bribed a guy to quit. They were like,
oh.
they paid a guy off to leave the show. Mm. They were like, get off. It's terrible. The
okay.
whole thing, he made an ass of himself. He locked off American Idol, which was the biggest hit in the world. And he went, I am the great and powerful Simon Cowell. They will watch what I show them. And they will do what I tell them.
Yeah.
And he said it was going to be the biggest thing that ever happened in television. It was going to blow the doors off the world.
Yeah.
Howdy Doody could suck his dick because it would be the biggest thing that ever happened at the TV.
Yeah.
No.
Well, it didn't. Although, you know, in England, that's what happened, though.
Mm-hmm.
He left Idol. He left Pop Idol.
Right.
And Pop Idol
went,
away.
I'm going to do it all over again.
He created X Factor hoping. But I don't know if the goal was to get rid of X Factor because they're to get rid of American Idol because mm-hmm. they're on the same network. And I think there's some synergy there where. You know, X Factor gets the fall and win, you know, right. American Idol.
Lightning
round.
Lieutenant John Pike, the cop that tear gassed or pepper sprayed.
Oh, that's
sprayed
that guy's
the,
name?
The crowd of.
Whatever happened, did they do anything to
I don't
that
know,
guy?
But
they,
he.
They didn't suspend
pepper
him.
Pepper sprayed a bunch of people for no good reason. Ron Paul.
Well.
Because he's fucking Ron Paul.
He's Ron Paul.
Yeah, that's about it. I mean, Kim Jong Il, there you go. It's a whole.
All right.
There's a big old pop, but none of them bigger. Than Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler, Corey's number one. All right, everybody. Well, there's the assholes of the year. Thank you very much, Corey, for a fabulous list.
2.5 hours of this crap. Listen to this and enjoy.
Well, I mean, it's the end of the year, so it's a good time to
That's
have
right.
a long show.
You'll be people, chewing on this till the bowl games are
people
over.
People have long drives to their relatives.
Oh,
and,
David Stern. How did I forget David
what
Stern?
Oh, well.
Roger
locker.
Goodell. Both of them. Kiss my grits. Both lockouts can suck
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's bad stuff, too. I'm trying to think of anybody just off the top of my head as we go out, but I don't know. I mean, there's no shortage of assholes out there.
There are plenty of them.
Hopefully you agree with these. If you disagree, agree, call 610-552-0746. Let us know. You can send us an email. Go to joelradio.net, hit contact, and let us know. You can comment on the page of joelradio.net right there, too. So feel free to do all that. We'll catch you next time, everybody. Good night.
Mahalo.
Later.
Kisses.
Goodbye. Happy Hanukkah. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas.
Kwanzaa. What is it?
Happy made-up holiday.
Yes.
That's what John Tortola is.
Happy Diwali.
Diwali?